Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
If I could just take it back to the experience of people of African descent in the United States, I think another thing that we have to acknowledge is that there's a sort of distrust of the medical care system that is in part a legacy of things like the Tuskegee experiment.
Is that leading, we're going to talk later in the program, as I think you know, about non-vaccination in the United States with Eula Biss and Dr. Jerome Groopman. Is there disproportionately high non-vaccination among people of African descent in the United States? And do you think that that relates to the, you know, to that legacy of horrible experimentation like Tuskegee?
I know that in New York City that we've had a racial gap in the uptake of the flu vaccine. That's a special vaccine in the sense that you have to get it every single year. And recently, for the first time, we've seen a narrowing of that gap in the flu vaccine. And part of that is by engaging with communities and working to promote vaccination in churches and bringing on trusted partners from the community to promote the importance of vaccine. Since we're on this, I want to make it very, very clear.
As the New York City Health Commissioner,
that vaccination is one of the true triumphs of 20th century medicine. Childhood vaccinations have led to the vanquishing of childhood diseases as a cause of death, and it is the absolutely critical that people get vaccinated. So the fact, though,
we keep hearing about these upper income,
we do,
you know, private school moms.
Yes, I haven't heard about a racial gap in childhood vaccines, but I would have to look at my data to be sure. But you're right; we hear about it. It seems to have roots in distrust for medical care, in part. I'd be interested to listen to your show and hear what your guests have to say about it.
Coming up later this morning.
Context of white supremacy. Justice Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the global system of racism. Today's date, Monday, March 30th, 2015. So I have been told the audio clip that you heard at the beginning that was from New York Public Radio right at the end of February. They had the New York City Commissioner of the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Dr. Mary Bassett. She did about a half hour interview. She was talking about a recent report that she authored talking about what they call health disparities and why black people are in such a state of poor health in comparison to white residents in the United States. Not even that white people are in phenomenal health, but even in comparison, black people by a lot of the different statistics and what have you that they look at, life expectancy, infant mortality rates, that black people are just doing rather poorly under this system, looking at a lot of the different ways that the health industry contributes to that disparity. Very important topic. You can actually download that paper. I think I put it on my Facebook page some weeks ago when all this first came out, which is definitely interesting to look at. At any rate, health being such an important aspect that everyone should be paying attention to and trying to get as much information as possible. And just because there's so much confusion, just that snippet right there, there's been so much on vaccines over the past, definitely increased attention over the last few months. But this is long running where you'll see lots of people getting very upset, both sides of the argument, and they'll have data and books and studies and all kinds of things. And it can be a lot to try to wade through and figure out what is the truth of the matter and what would be the best decision for you to make for your health, and certainly for folks who have children, what is the best decision to make for the health of your offspring. Our guest thought it would be grand to have her on the program to help us get some clarity on this matter. She is an author. One of the books that she's written, The Lethal Dose, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. It's available on Amazon. You can get the Kindle edition. Lots of great information and gives more background about her own personal evolution and seeing how this plays out with the medical industrial complex. She also has her own radio broadcast, Healing with Dr. Daniels, on the Rainbow Soul channel. Should be linked in the description to the program. You can also visit her website to get much more information about the work that she does, products that she offers, and all the different archives of different subjects that she's covered on her radio broadcast. It is vitalitycapsules.com. That address again, vitalitycapsules.com. It also is linked in the description, so you can go check it out. Great information. I know a lot of our listeners are big fans of her work, and we're really excited that she was going to be spending some time with us on the program. So definitely feel free to dial in, get your questions ready so you can get her perspective and any information, insight she has to offer. A real pleasure to have her on the program joining us live, Dr. Jennifer Daniels. Dr. Daniels, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of your Monday evening. For any of our listeners, this might be their first time hearing about you and the work that you do. Anything that you think it would be helpful for folks to know about you before we get started?
Yeah, I think it's important people to realize that I attended medical school in the United States, became board certified in family practice, and had a private medical family practice for 10 years in the inner city of Syracuse, New York. So when I speak, I'm speaking from experience. I'm not speaking from an administrative perch with talking points that have been handed to me, employed by a government that's been bribed by the industry.
Fantastic. You are a black female, for people who haven't seen some of the videos you've done, photographs and what have you.
Yeah, yes.
right on. I guess to just give some background, because I think that's important as well, that you are speaking as someone who was trained as a medical doctor, practiced as a medical doctor for many years. Just some of what you talk about in The Lethal Dose, in terms of what you were seeing with your patients and when you started to make changes, effective changes to telling them things they could do, just basic things, changing their diet, cleansings that were having an impact.
Yeah. You know, I went to Ivy League medical school, top of the line medical school. I attended Harvard University undergraduate, Ivy League, went to Wharton Business School while I was going to medical school. I got both degrees in 4 years. So I've certainly been educated, and certainly have had a belly full of the establishment line on just about every topic you can think of, certainly relating to healthcare and healthcare management. So my perspective is one of having been thoroughly educated in the dogma and having gone into the community, seen the situations people are in, and been in the position of actually trying to help and assist people. And it turns out that what doctors are taught to do in medical school is extremely dangerous, is very unsafe. And the reason it was so important to have the civil rights movement in the 60s, it wasn't for blacks. Blacks were on the way to liberating themselves, by the way. But the reason for the civil rights movement in the 60s was to get African-Americans to believe the government was on their side. Prior to the civil rights movement, African-Americans had distrust not only of the healthcare system, but of the government and really any outside influences. And African-Americans were very much into personal responsibility and self-sufficiency. And you know, handling their own affairs responsibly. But with the advent of the 60s and the propaganda of the civil rights movement, blacks felt that something had changed, but really nothing had changed at all. And they put their trust in the healthcare system. And as a result, they've seen the health of their children deteriorate. In the 50s and 40s and 30s, African-American women gave birth to generations of professional athletes. I mean, African-American babies were very strong. They were very healthy. Enter prenatal care, the Medicaid program, vaccines, food stamps, and the present generation of black children is very weak. They're very feeble, and they're damaged. They're compromised. Why? Because African Americans were snookered in by the civil rights movement, which, in retrospect, and even to my observation during the time, was nothing more than a government psychological operation to get blacks to believe that the system was on their side. And this has operated to the detriment of African Americans at every level. And I think the other thing the civil rights movement did, which was very bad, was that American blacks and American whites were beginning to have dialogue among themselves. And what happened with the civil rights movement is the government stepped in, interrupted that dialogue, said, we're going to have quotas. We're going to have blacks go places where they're not wanted, and have whites go places where they're not wanted. And if blacks and whites try to voluntarily get together, we're going to break it up. And I saw this in Syracuse, where I live. So, for example, here I was, a black kid, 11 years old, walking to school in a black neighborhood. No problem, right? So they decide they're going to take me to put me in another black school in the same neighborhood. So now I walk left instead of walking right. And in this room, they're going to have a bunch of white kids. Now we got, 10 white kids and 20 black kids. Okay, so let's call it integration. And over the course of the year, what happened was they took more and more black kids out of the room, and you had teaching going on literally in one room in the so-called integrated school, and that was the one room where the white kids were. And so this was tasked off as integration. And again, you had these kids who were all put together, not voluntarily, I'll put it to you that way. Then, fast forward 30 years, I decided to live in the ghetto for reasons we can talk about later. And if a white person drives a car into my black ghetto, the policemen stop them, ask them if they're buying drugs, and turn them around to leave. So if you're a black person and you have a white friend that wants to come visit you, the police literally interdict that person and send them away. Yes. They're going to establish quotas to send black people into white hostile environments, but not allow blacks to have non-hostile interactions with whites. And this is what the civil rights movement did. And in the same city called Syracuse, if a black person drives into a white neighborhood, the policeman stops the black person and literally turn them around and says, sorry, you know, you don't belong here. So we have a segregated America now, 2015, was even more segregated than it was before the civil rights movement. But what do we have? What did the movement accomplish? We have black people allowing their children to be in a classroom where they're being propagandized by government representatives. And we get some black faces on that propaganda to engender even more trust. And we have exactly what Martin Luther King said he wanted. He wanted black faces in high places, and that's what we have. They're doing the same thing that was done before that was harmful, but now we've got a black face on it. And even as a 10-year-old kid, I thought that was wrong.
Interesting, interesting. What specifically are some of the details that led you to question what you had been taught, the way you had been trained to think and practice as a medical doctor?
Well, first of all, it's just in medical school. you know, in medical school, they would tell us that, you know, we're highly trained and this is very specialized information we're receiving and we're qualified to do these exceptional things. Like, okay, sounds good to me. And then the next breath, they say, half of everything we're teaching you is false, but we don't know which half is false. I'm like, yo, can't you guys get a truth committee together and look a little closer than us? You know, that just flies in the face of how can I ask my patients to put their trust in me when half of everything I'm telling them, got it, is false. So that bothered me. Huh. Now, they tried to paper it over by saying, well, you know, research is ongoing, and we're going to be replacing this, we're going to be detecting false information at all times, and we're going to be replacing with more accurate information. And so I thought, well, wait a minute now. Same to me. If what you're teaching me is 50% false, then the source of this information must be unreliable. Are you going to switch your information source? Well, no. So I was troubled by this in medical school. I was also troubled by the fact that I didn't see anybody getting better. Because in medicine, you have something called a protocol. It's a standard of care. It reads something like this. Person comes in with symptom A. All right. You give them drug number one. It doesn't work. Then you give them drug number two. It doesn't work. Then you add drug number three. It doesn't work. Then you add drug number four. It doesn't work. Then you go to drug number five, and you think it'll work. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why don't we skip drug one through four? Why, if the drug doesn't work, why don't we just stop it? Why continue it and add another drug to it? Didn't make sense to me. So, of course, by the time this person is now taking five drugs, four of which did not work, you're now in a situation where you've got side effects from drugs one through four, and now you've added more drugs to treat those side effects. And so, of course, I was into cutting my workload. So I'm like, well, skip drugs one through four, just go to drug five, either it works or it doesn't, and that's all there is to it. So, that's the way my brain worked. And so I was criticized in medical school for lacking intellectual curiosity. Huh. In other words, I didn't have the desire to put someone on a bunch of drugs just to satisfy my curiosity. And so I felt that that's a reasonable position, that I'm trying to help this person. If the drug that I'm going to put them on isn't helping them, well, I should stop it. And if I know the drug is not working, I should stop using it. I mean, if it's failed to work 10 times in a row, well, you know, why bother with it? Just cross it off the list. So this was my thought process. Now, when I went to medical school, I was only going to medical school so that I could graduate and go back to the ghetto that I grew up in and practice medicine in the ghetto. So I was not impressed by people saying, well, you know, you could be a medical school professor. Well, you know, you could be a health commissioner. Well, you know, you could be fill in the blank. Like, no, I got my mind made up. Family practice, I'm going back to the ghetto, practice medicine. That's it. That's my goal. And so what they do then is they, first of all, you have to be a whiz going through medical school to see if this stuff doesn't work. So many people with time to graduate are very terrified and insecure, and they flock to any position in healthcare that does not involve taking care of a patient. So they want to go into an administrative position. They want to go work for a drug company. They want to go work for an insurance company. They want to be a professor at a teaching hospital. Anything to minimize their hands-on implementation of this stuff that doesn't work. And so when I left medical school, my position was, well, I'm going to do the best I can to help my patients. And if something seems to be effective, I'll use it. If it's not, then I'm going to stop using it. And so my first assignment, I paid for my medical education by having a National Health Service Corps scholarship. So I agreed to work in underserved areas of the United States where literally they could not pay doctors to locate. Huh. So the only way to get doctors there was to pay for a doctor's education and then tell them, okay, you owe us. And so I ended up in Hayward, Wisconsin, working with the Chippewa Indians. And I also lived among the Chippewa on the Indian reservation. Got to know everyone pretty well, you know, my patients and stuff. And so I could see if people were getting better or not getting better or having side effects. And so I just stopped using drugs that were not working and were not giving people benefit, which meant I used a lot fewer drugs. So what happened was people actually started getting better, and people started coming from switching their care from the Marshfield Clinic, which is a famous clinic in Wisconsin, to this little Indian reservation clinic where I was. And people started coming, white people, because there's whites and Indians, right? So white people from the town wanted to come to the clinic on the Indian reservation to see me because they've heard that, you know, people were getting better results. And so that was my first inkling that something was up. But I went to an Ivy League medical school. What does that mean? That means I was trained that I was going to be not only a doctor, but one of the leading doctors, and I had something other doctors didn't have. I had medical judgment, and if I thought something was wrong, by golly, I had the authority to at least not do it myself. And so on the Indian reservation, that's what I did. And we had this big diabetes thing. This is in the 80s. And so I was there when the government was providing free food to the Indian reservation, and they were giving them cheese, white flour, lard, and hamburger. And the diabetes went through the roof, because I remember eating deep-fried bread made with white flour and water, deep-fried and lard, and with hamburger on top, basically, and that was your meal. And so people started getting diabetes as young as age 13. And it was type 2 diabetes. And what happened was we had the so-called plan to reduce diabetes. Well, I just took a look at it and said, well, I'm not diabetic. You know, just eat what I eat. And so I found this little brochure that had a list of all kinds of vegetables. And I just circled all the vegetables. Like, look, this is an all-you-can-eat diet, guys. And I circled all the stuff they could eat all they wanted. And it was a diabetes diet thing that they'd given out. And I said, why should anyone measure their food? I don't measure my food. I was 20 pounds underweight. I don't measure my food. I eat all I want. I don't have diabetes. They should go eat all they want and not measure their food. And so I put everybody on an all-you-can-eat diet of foods that had zero glycemic points, I think was the system they were using back then. And people's diabetes started clearing up. You know, and so I said, oh, easy. So then the administrator of the clinic called me and said, wait, you can't do this. You're a doctor. You can only prescribe drugs for diabetes. You have to let the dietitian talk to them about diet. You can't be talking to them about diet. So what did the dietitian tell them? Oh, use margarine. You name the processed packaged food. She had it on their okay to eat list, and she explained to them how to measure their portions. Of course, nobody got better. And that was my first inkling where I realized that healthcare had nothing to do with health or caring. And on the Indian reservation, it was simply an employment program. A lot of Indians got jobs because they worked at the clinic. It was the biggest employment program on the reservation. And so whether people got better or not didn't make any difference. And whether we got them better with fewer resources didn't make any difference. What made a difference was people having jobs. And this is another pitfall that blacks fall into. And I would say this, would you rather have a job and an autistic child, or would you rather not have a job and have a healthy child? And just because you don't have a job does not mean you don't have money. People can be self-employed. And there was a time when most people were. So this pitfall of the government creating jobs and people looking for jobs is a big part of the problem. The healthcare industry is a major employer in the United States. I think it's over 17% of gross national product. And if the healthcare industry ever stopped harming people, a lot of jobs would be lost.
Wow. context of white supremacy. Fascinating.
No, no. Context of psychological black dependency. Because the problem, again, is the psychological warfare where blacks swallowed this whole civil rights movement thing. I mean, like, I have a niece, and she dresses her kids like Disney characters. You know, the consumerism is off the chain. Whereas when I was a kid 50 years ago, that was not, that was totally unreasonable behavior. You know, as far as blacks, we were like, you took pride in being in the real world. You took pride in separating the nonsense from what was real. Now, people are taking pride in being part of the illusion. They're taking pride in being part of the show. They're taking pride in being exploited. You know, she vaccinated her oldest child, and he developed a rash all over his body, crying, irritability, and his white count, his T-cell count, went so friggin' low, it was below the AIDS level. And why? From the vaccine. Huh. And even the doctor said,
I think maybe we should delay the next vaccine.
And so they stopped the vaccine, and his T-cell count came up. And so I told him, I said, don't vaccinate that kid again. That kid is obviously susceptible to vaccines. It's not a good idea. And they said, well, you know, we want some daycare, so we're going to vaccinate him. This is the problem. This is the problem. Before anyone mentions white supremacy, let's get a little bit of black supremacy going. And let's put each black person as the supreme person in charge of their own life. That's the black supremacy that's needed.
This was your, you said this was family members where this child was being.
Oh, yeah.
And you being a medical doctor, were they going to you and saying, hey, doctor, well, not even Dr. Daniels, because you're a family member. So, hey, what do you have an opinion on what this is you studied and blah, blah, blah. And did you give your medical opinion on what you thought was causing the problem, these vaccines?
Exactly. They came to see me because, you know, the kid was suffering so. And the kid couldn't eat anything. Mm. He had diarrhea, he had vomiting, he had his rash, he was losing weight, he couldn't feed him anything. I said, well, what are you feeding him? The family could have died of plastic. Tater tots and deep fried this and that, frozen this, processed that. I said, oh my God. I said, you had, and she told me everything she said to the kid. I said, you haven't mentioned a single piece of food yet. This is the problem. This is the problem. When I was a kid, black folks didn't trust any food off the store. We grew up, and this is in Syracuse, New York, I mean the cold. We grew collard greens in the backyard. And there were people who literally had a plot of land just outside the city that go farm it and get their own food. You know, this is the level of distrust African Americans had for this establishment. And as a result of the civil rights movement and President Johnson's program, people were snookered into this welfare state that has just devoured them, destroyed their health, destroyed their happiness, and it just turned everything upside down.
Mm. That, I think, used the term snookered. Black people have been snookered into this state of dependency, and I think even earlier used the term that this psychological warfare that's being waged against black people, that's, in my opinion, that is exactly the context system of white supremacy at work right there. President Johnson, I think he's a white person as well, but wow. With the vaccine specifically, because that was the audio clip that I began with at the very beginning, and that's what I mean about the confusion, where it can be very difficult, even if you are saying,
there's no confusion. There is no confusion. In other words, people espouse an opinion consistent with where their paycheck comes from. This person's paycheck comes from the vaccine industry. You know, she's not a private doctor taking care of people, accepting their money, and interested in their personal satisfaction. That's not her position. Her position is being a mouthpiece, is reading pieces of paper that she's handed, is believing what she's told by her superiors. So there is no inconsistency anywhere. My position was I had a private practice. the insurance companies, I was located in the ghetto. They paid me less than they would pay white doctors. They said, oh, you're in the zip code. We don't pay that kind of money in your zip code.
Wow.
How could I? You know, so I was totally dependent on my patients for my income. And if my patients got sick and couldn't go to work, guess what? They couldn't pay me, or they had to drop out of my practice. So I had, you bet your bippy, I had a different opinion about vaccines, a different opinion about these therapies. I'm like, whoa, another one bit the dust. We can't have another paying patient drop dead. We've got to put a stop to this. But if I was in a position of being an administrator where my paycheck came whether anyone dropped dead or not, or if I accepted insurance, if every patient I murdered, the insurance company brought me three, well, I would have a different opinion, I assure you.
With the vaccines, I mean, you do see a lot of literature on a regular basis. I think even just 2015, where now they're looking in some regions to curtail religious exemptions so that people can't just say, well, you know, because
in every region. In every region. And Dick Bradley said vaccines are so good people be stealing them. You wouldn't need a law saying
you have to get your vaccine.
What was the last person you saw get a vaccine and got healthy? I mean, you just have to use some common sense.
You have a daughter, is that correct?
I got a few. I got two daughters and one son.
Oh, okay. Did you have any of your children vaccinated?
Every last one. I didn't know any better. I vaccinated every last one. They got every last shot up until they were 5 years old. And then I realized, oh, my God, what have I done? But also, my children were fed 100% organic food, unprocessed food. They were not sent to school, like homeschooled, which means were not exposed to government food or institutionalized contaminated food at school. So they had a lot of other things at play. We had absolutely no chemicals in our house. I didn't clean a darn thing because I was too tired after working all day long. So we had a filthy house totally free of chemicals.
Wow. Wow. And so you said you did early, when your children were very young, you did vaccinate them, but then after you got better information.
I mean, now I can tell you, their intelligence compared to my intelligence, I'm like, I don't even know even my kids except that I gave birth to them. That's how different they are from me.
Wow. In terms of improvement? Because they...
No, the other way.
Oh, wow. And you think that's because of the vaccines?
Absolutely.
Wow. So if you were doing it all over again, you were having children, you would not, no vaccines at all?
Oh, my God, absolutely not. I would not vaccinate. And now it's worse than ever. First of all, your doctor has absolutely no clue. He does not even know what's in that shot. He has no idea. None. So he can't give you any information about what's in the shot. He doesn't know. All he knows is the bottle said MMR, but he doesn't know what's in that vial. And nobody has to tell him. All he knows is the bottle said MMR. It's time for your kid to get the MMR. If your kid drops dead from the shot, he doesn't have to be going for it. That's all he knows. And he gets evaluated based on his immunization percentage, and his paycheck goes up, his job becomes more secure the more folks he vaccinates, and that's all he needs to know.
Wow. What would you recommend to black parents, parents on the whole, because there seems like there's a growing kind of bullying that's going on. Like they were talking in California, I think that was the early part of this year. Hey, if you don't get your child vaccinated, or if you don't have the records to prove that this was done, you know, we can kick your child out of school for the next month or 3 weeks or whatever the case may be until,
I can kick the kid out of school. It's nothing but a propaganda mill anyway. They're not teaching those kids anything, black, white, or in between. So if your kid gets kicked out of school for lack of vaccine, count yourself lucky, you know, and say, thank you very much. I'm going to take responsibility for my child. So that's that story. But let's just say you're devious and you really want the kid to go to school for whatever reason, maybe, who knows. But they said to get a vaccine record, proof of vaccination. That doesn't mean vaccination. It means proof of vaccination.
And the difference being?
Don't get the needle, get the piece of paper.
What would be the procedure for doing that?
You lack imagination, I see. I mean, there's stuff called Photoshop, all kinds of things. I mean, you can fabricate your own piece of whatever. That's one way. Another way is you can actually go to the doctor's office and say, look, I want to buy a dose of MMR. He says, okay. Draw it up, put it in the sink, and fill it right here on my kid's card, MMR. Great, done. Now, draw off that other shot, pour it in the sink, and I'll pay you for that one, too. And pay the doctor, because those shots cost the doctor anywhere from $20 to $100 a shot.
Wow.
So if you pay the doctor for that shot and pay him for the office visit, he'll squirt it wherever you want it. So there's all kinds of ways, and those are just two. It's like 50 ways to leave your work. just get it done.
Wow. Again, Dr. Jennifer Daniels, you can visit her website at vitalitycapsules.com. Address again, vitalitycapsules.com. Should be linked in the description if you can't write that fast or what have you, but I'll give it out a few more times during the course of the program. Folks listening in, if you all have questions, the number to dial 760-569-7676. The code is 56973. Wait a minute, make sure I'm giving out the correct code. 564, there we go, 564-943-pound. We'll make sure we get listeners. I know we have a lot of folks who are big fans of your work, Dr. Daniels. I'm sure they'll want to get some questions in along the way as well. The financial incentive, I think you just touched on that there seems to be a lot of money supporting, propagandizing the importance of getting these vaccines. And if you don't do it, you're a bad parent. Just how much money would you estimate is pushing all of this in terms of prodding folks to go ahead and get these shots to their children?
It's beyond that. It's beyond that. I think if you focus on the money, then you miss the point. Totally miss the point. The point is to create a whole generation of dumbed down, stupid individuals. Humans who are smart enough to work as slaves, but too dumb to revolt. And this is a movement to enslave blacks and whites. And the longer we keep this on a black-white conversation level, the longer it's going to take us to really set ourselves free. So if you don't understand that it's not about the money, it's all about the power. And it's all about creating generations of slaves who enjoy their slavery. That's really what it's about. And these autistic kids, their parents are like, oh, and terrible, my kid is autistic. You have to pull yourself together and grow up here. The plan is to make your kid autistic. So by the time your kid is 20 or 30, you'll be begging the government to put a chip in him, control him, make him a soul, do something with him. This is what's going on. It is the goal. And for every autistic kid, you create thousands that are dumbed down. They're just not so bright.
Hmm.
That's what it's all about. It's not about the money. And the drug companies, people like to vilify drug companies. Oh, they're making the vaccine, they're making the profit. Probably, yeah, possibly. But if you just think a little deeper, what's really going on is the government has a hand in this. It's the government passing these laws. The government wants a population of near idiots, people who can go to work every day and don't have the sense to complain about it, don't have the sense to figure their way out of a paper bag, don't have the sense to figure out to eat the weeds on the ground instead of going to the store. They don't have the sense to, fend for themselves. And people, it's a seductive thing to think that somebody can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. But that's just not the case. It absolutely is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I sat down and calculated how much on a per household basis the government spending on the Medicaid program for poor people. Now, mind you, the poverty level is $24,000. So on a per household level, the government is spending $48,000 per household on health care for poor people. Like, what? Why don't we just hand them the cash and then we wipe out poverty immediately? Because every household would have $46,000, right? But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is to enslave people by making them dependent on the government for their health care. And then the government mandates all these shots, annual flu shots, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter what the shot is. And at any point, the government can put whatever it wants in that shot. If it's time for folks over 65 to die, guess what? Guess what goes in the shot for, that gets shipped to the clinics for over 65 people? That's where this is going. Once you got somebody blindly taking shots, and nobody knows it's in a needle, I mean nobody. The doctors don't know. The patients don't. Nobody knows what's in those needles. Then you can wipe out a whole neighborhood just by shipping a certain shipment of needles to that neighborhood. Or vials. That's where this is going. It's not about the money at all.
There have been a lot of recent reports people have brought up. Folks saying that, hey, any sort of insinuation that there's a link between vaccines and autism, that has been debunked, that's not accurate, and that's false science that people are promoting.
Dr. Thompson of the CDC blew the whistle that the CDC study in the early 2000s indicating there was no link was fake. They deleted the data point that showed there was an association. Especially in black boys, they're four times as likely to be autistic if they get the MMR shot on time. That, the government determined itself. Again, because they split up by race, you know, you can say, oh, well, for white people it's not the case, or, you know, there's all kinds of things you can say. But the point is, in my mind, if you can find that big a racial difference, and you know that whites and blacks are physically separated, that to me is proof positive they're shipping different stuff to the clinics vaccinating black people than they're shipping to the clinics vaccinating white people. That's what's going on. I mean, that's these plants nose in my face.
Wow.
Just that piece of research that they've shown.
Fascinating, fascinating. I will nab a few of the folks that dialed in who have questions before we proceed. The person that dialed in, last four digits, 7947, 7947. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels? Your line should be open. Did you have a question? Are you just listening? Caller 7947.
Yes, I do. Good evening, Gus. What she's saying and everyone else, what she's saying is on the money. I'm telling you, everything she is saying is really on the money. I'm sorry I'm so hoarse because I'm kind of choked up. But what happened to my daughter, doctor, is that it's true about the child can get autism through these vaccinations. But thank God that what had happened was I saw my daughter develop, and I knew she wasn't developing as other children. I know what you know what I'm talking about, but they're supposed to have different milestones they're supposed to go through.
Right.
A different phrase. And when that child is not looking in your eyes and not giving you back that interaction and not making that contact with you, the first thing that a person should know is that a child, a baby, is supposed to make eye contact with you. And if that eye contact is there, and she was doing the echolalia, but what had happened was, thank God for my mom and prayer and just learning about this thing, is that what had happened was, I started just reading and saying to myself, something is just not right. Something is, you know, as a mother, you have that instinct, something is just not right with my daughter. Everybody was saying, oh, don't you worry about it. Every child has their milestones. But I know how I am, and I know what I see in other children. That's how you kind of gauge what's going on with your own child. But what had happened was, is that when she started, the overload was when she had the MMR, which stands for the measles, mumps, and rubella shot. Back in the day, those shots, as you know, doctor, were not lumped together. They gave them at different intervals. For some reason, they felt like they wanted to give that shot all together, and I think that's what sent her into the sensory overload. And it's so funny, when I was in that office and she got that shot, it was the MMR, I can just hear her shrilling like her soul was going out of her. It was just a horrible feeling. And at that point, she started to digress. I learned a lot, and I made sure she did not get any shot at all. You know what titers are. People don't understand when those shots are in those children, they're in them. They're there. You don't have to keep revamping or refueling the shots. The shots are there for life. You don't need a refill. And we had to fight, and thank God it was through religious exemption that I was able to get her back into school and not for her to take those shots again. And let me tell you, everybody looked at me from the left. The doctors kept telling me, oh, you're silly. I cannot want these shots or whatever, whatever. Everybody thinks you're crazy. I know people are always thinking this woman is crazy if they're listening to her for the first time, but I am a human testimony of what happened. We started different therapies because every doctor I went through, and my daughter's born in 1999, and you know now, fast forward to 2015, there's so many different modalities that one can use to help their child. And back then, I found out that she had the allergy-induced autism. She was allergic to this. Yeah, she was allergic to wheat, soy. And here I'm a new mother coming out with child. They didn't have all the stuff they have now. So I had to kind of reinvent the wheel, doctor. But I thank God that I did go through that. And I tell people everywhere I go, let's just ask you, if you had an opportunity to do it over again, hell no, I would never put one shot in that. Well, maybe a few of them. Because do you know when a child comes out of the hospital, they're already inoculated with a shot, and they don't even tell us whether they want us to do this. There are 22 different shots a child must have by the age of, I think, 2 years old. Back in our Mother's Day, they didn't have those type of shots given to the parents. That's why my mother is so incredibly strong. I just don't believe it. But fast forwarding, right now, she is wonderful. We use the NAET. I don't know if you heard it, NAET. A lot of people think I'm speaking foreign, but I think you may know what it is, the allergy elimination treatment that we did for her. She is on a wheat and gluten-free diet, so actually, you know, that helped her. They said that she had how the mind and the gut works together when you're allergic to all those different things. But if I didn't get all my education and learn and not listen to conventional medicine, my daughter would be full-blown autistic. She has nothing. I mean, she's a 3-5 right now, and she is doing wonderful. And it wasn't for traditional doctors. It was doctors like you who told me to do what I needed to do. I'm sorry, I didn't even get the story, but my question later is how do you feel about, it's off the subject, but what do you feel about root canals? And I'll mute my line.
Root canal. All right. So root canals are definitely a bad idea. What it does is it puts a foreign body into your mouth, and so it becomes a focus of eternal infection that your immune system has difficulty routing out. And it can be the basis for autoimmune disease, cancer, and other chronic illnesses. So definitely, if you're faced with root canal, or something else, get the tooth pulled. Either get the tooth pulled or try and heal it naturally.
Right on. The person that called in, I guess you're using the flash phone. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels?
Yes. Hi, Gus. Dr. Greetings. Daniels, good evening. Greetings. I have so many questions. To the previous caller, no, I do not think you're crazy. I have a 17-year-old son. He's good. He's all right now. He's on the honor roll. He's fine. But I remember when he first got vaccinated down in South Carolina, I had to move down there for a little while to be with my mother after I had my son. And I took him to one of these health centers just to keep up with his health care. He was a little baby. He was about 3 months old. And he went and got one of these vaccinations immediately, the same day. I had him laying on the bed, and he started making this sound like a rocket ship with his lips. Like he was getting ready to take off in the air. And then he started rolling around on the bed. Me and my mother were so frightened. And that was only after that vaccination. And it took about 2 days and it stopped. But he kept like tensing up his body and acting like he wanted to take off. So I don't think you're crazy. And that was 17 years ago. But, I didn't know either. I was just like you, Dr. Daniels. And you know, he got all these vaccinations, but thank God, I mean, there were no delays. He's fine. He doesn't seem to have any adverse effects. I did try to do as much as I can to feed him naturally. Instead of doing that baby food stuff, I would get organic fruits and vegetables and puree them down in my with distilled water in my kitchen and all of that. So I did that. But I just wanted to get to my questions. I have so many. I'm going to go to your website and maybe hook up with you offline. My first question is about this HPV virus thing. They're pushing that in the hood to these teenagers, okay? And it's like, he's still 17, so his pediatrician, like for the past 2 or 3 years, she's like, I strongly recommend it. I'm like, you know, you can strongly recommend it all you want to. My first thing is that I remember this whole eugenics thing, okay? I think it's a sterilization thing. I don't understand how that many people are having that much sex and everybody's nasty and dirty and needs to have this HPV vaccine from the young to the old. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. And also, my mom's having some issues with some disc in her neck. She's in her 70s, and she went for an MRI, and then they asked her to go for another test. It begins with an M. I forget what they call it. It's another kind of test. But anyway, the discs are flat, and they're causing her a lot of pain. They're flat, and they're close together. So they want to go on her back and do some kind of, you know, go on her neck and do some kind of surgery. I told her to hold off on that. You know, she's in her 70s. She has arthritis and all these other things. And I know there's a doctor by the name of Dr. Sebi. He talks about a lot about inflammation in the body and that, how that causes a lot of diseases. So I just wanted to know, like I said, I have so many questions. And I'm sorry if I'm, like, moving really fast. But if you could talk to me a little bit about that HPV vaccine and about all these testing for these so-called bone diseases, I would appreciate it. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Okay. The HPV, that has shown to increase sterility. So if grandkids are what you're after, you don't want your kids to get the HPV vaccine. I'll leave it at that. Well, I can just say a little more than that. Human papilloma virus is what you're vaccinating against. And it's called human papilloma virus because more than 90% of human beings have it at least some point during their life. And so if more than 90% of human beings have it at some point during their life, you cannot call it a sexually transmitted disease because you can't get from someone else something you already have. So this human papillomavirus is the same virus that causes warts on your hands, warts on your feet, callous skins on your feet. This is a human virus. This virus lives with humans. The other thing to know is if you look at women who die of cervical cancer and women who do not die of cervical cancer, women who die of cervical cancer have less human wart virus than those who survive and do well. So in other words, having the human papilloma wart virus in your body appears to be protective against dying of cervical cancer. So what we're doing, it appears, is immunizing against a virus that is actually helpful.
Yeah.
That's human papilloma virus story. Then we have the bone disease. Your mother's bone issue, her pain, has absolutely nothing to do with her discs. How can I say that? Have you been methylated, right?
Hmm.
They did studies where they took 100 people who had no pain whatever and did MRI. And I believe about a third of them had diseased discs. So just because your disc is flat, just because your disc is abnormal or diseased by X-ray, does not mean that your disc disease is the cause of your pain. In fact, probably it's not. And this is the reason also why back surgery is notoriously ineffective. Chances are pretty close to 100% that she will get no relief whatever from any surgery they choose to do at her back. Why? Well, we won't get into the why, but the doctors, the medical industrial complex itself, has studied back surgery and found it to be totally ineffective. Why do doctors still do it? I don't know. I guess the government allows it, the government pays for it, the government encourages it, and I'm sure the government has its reasons. I'm not privy to those, haven't been discussed with me. But as an individual, considering what to do about back surgery, back pain is not the thing to do if you're concerned about getting rid of your pain. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I understand. I kind of likened it to the knee surgery. I always wondered, I mean, there was a time, and I think still, that, you know, everybody was having knee surgeries. The young and the old were having knee surgeries. And I wonder if there was like a warehouse somewhere where they had all of these fake knees that they just had to get rid of, you know. And most of the time, the people that I knew that were having knee pain was because they were overweight. Once they took the weight off, they didn't have any more knee pain. Okay, right. Thank you, doctor. I appreciate you taking my questions. Thanks, Gus.
You're welcome.
Sure. Person called in, Bay Area caller. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels? Your line should be open.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've muted my line. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Daniel. I'm calling about the HPV vaccination shot also, because they look, every year they offer, they sternly suggest that my son gets this shot. And last year, every year, because I just take them once a year. So last year, I go in, and so I'm the one, so they need two doctors for me. So they send one lady in there with the spill about, oh, yeah, and is he sexually active? He's not sexually active. Well, this. He has a reason to be sexually active. Well, you don't know, you know, because he's such a stud. Well, I do know. He's not sexually active. He'll never be sexually active. When he is sexually active, I'll deal with it, but I don't understand. Because when I was coming up, we didn't get HPV shots. It's just silly. So then they send a second doctor in there, you know, but it's only about this shot. So it's like, oh, so you don't want to take the shot, right? Right. Well, this is, isn't that for the girls? That's the girls, right? Yeah, but now the boys, no. So now that you said that to the other caller, I have a better understanding about the shot, but I didn't before. So I just wanted to continue on it because I was still on hold, and that's all. And thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. So one more thing to say about that. So when they get you in a room like that and they gang up on you, then they try and get you to sign a form saying, I refuse the shot and I realize that my son not being vaccinated is endangering the whole world. And that gives them then an entree to get social services involved and seize your child and vaccinate him, because you've said that you know he's a hazard and you don't care. So then we take it out of the realm of, is the shot make any sense? So never sign a form refusing a shot, because there's a lot of other stuff put in there, other language to entrap you. The other issue is, why bring him in every year anyway? There's no reason to. If he walks, he talks, he eats, then there's nothing else that a person under 40 really got to do, you know, from a medical point of view. So you can skip those annual checks, and you can Google dangerous annual physical exams, and it'll come right up. Dr. So-and-so has done extensive research showing that the annual medical exam is hazardous to your health. All the doctors know this. Yet parents bring their kids in for annual exams. Yet adults show up for annual exams. And there's just not much else you could do more hazardous to your health than an annual exam.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate that. If other folks have questions, you want to make sure you get in for Dr. Daniels. Don't lollygag. Go ahead and get your hand up. 760-569-7676 and the code 564-943#. Press *6 if you have a question. We'll get your hand on the line. I think that's really important as well, kind of both what the last two callers touched on. When you go in to see the doctor, frequently it can be an intimidating experience where they're coming at you and telling you all these bad things are going to happen if you don't do this, or if it's your child, if you don't get this shot, or whatever recommendation that they're giving. Just what kind of things would you recommend so that folks can be armed to deal with that situation, to make the best choice and not be bullied by these doctors?
Stay home, that's what I do. Stay home.
Okay. And if you do have to go in for whatever reason?
What is the whatever reason? Give me an example.
Let's see. If you are not feeling well. You have an ailment and you want to go in to try to figure out exactly what it is.
And then they offer you an immunization?
It could be immunization, one of the shots that folks were talking about. I think we've had a lot of folks that have called in where they have went in. It's surgery, shots, different things that they are recommending for your benefit, allegedly.
Well, what you can do, first of all, is bring the doctor back to the topic. Excuse me, doctor, that's not what I came here for. You know, that's not the topic of today's visit. We'll have to schedule another visit for that one, doctor.
Okay.
You know, you just need to realize why you're there. So, excuse me, doctor, I came here for my sore toe. Now, do you have something for my sore toe? Because if you don't, you need to let me know.
Got it.
Like, when you go to the store for a loaf of bread, and they start talking to you about filet mignon, that's, excuse me, I came for a loaf of bread. Now, you going to let me buy a loaf of bread or not?
Got it.
Yes, that's the posture. You can't be dazzled by authority or blinded by the white coat or whatever, or even be impressed with what your insurance will and won't pay for. And the doctor will tell you, I'm sorry, your insurance won't pay for this visit unless I immunize you with this visit. Well, then have one of them. I'll pay for the visit. Next, what else? What other problem we got here? You going to take care of my cough or not? I mean, that's the way you have to be. You've got to be focused. And that's what people's problem is. They're not focused. They let the doctors pull them off topic. Well, why are you there? If you're there for an annual exam, you're in the wrong place. You might as well just stay home and masturbate. It's a lot safer. You probably get more information. Annual exams are dangerous. And the medical industrial complex knows this. The doctors know this. The doctors get emails saying that the annual exam is dangerous, but don't worry, keep doing it. We're making it safer every day. So there's no benefit to your health in terms of the annual exam. Because if they catch something, then chances are the thing that they caught would never have been a problem anyway. So nobody should be getting annual exams. Nobody of any age should be going for any routine checkup. These well-child visits are just an excuse to vaccinate. That's all. And none of these childhood illnesses that caught early could be in any way mitigated. Let's say a kid has a genetic defect. Well, are his genes going to change because the doctor detected it early? Of course not. So, you know, it's a bunch of silliness. And again, if you step back and apply a bit of not too sophisticated logic to the situation, it's pretty straightforward. But again, we've been bamboozled by the, Johnson indoctrination. Medicaid is a benefit. They call it a benefit, even though all it does is harm people. They've even done studies. They know if you show up for prenatal care the day after you conceive, your birth outcome will be far worse than had you delayed your prenatal care. Now, prenatal care is so healthy. How come starting it early is dangerous for the mother and the baby?
Excellent. There was a report in the New York Times, just to get your response, where they were talking about these annual exams and whether or not this is worthwhile. They had published a study advising people to skip their annual exam for some of the very reasons that you cited. And they got a flurry of responses and people being upset about this and saying, how dare you all publish this? Some of the critiques that they offered, number one, they said this annual exam, even though they did concede that there's no evidence to show that these annual exams reduce mortality rates, but they said it is beneficial because, number one, it provides an opportunity to check and counsel on weight and blood pressure, crucial since one out of four deaths in the
United States. No, stop right now.
Okay.
They said these exams do not affect mortality. Done.
Correct.
End of discussion. Whatever they're counseling you on, whatever they're detecting, the action they're taking is of no benefit. So it's a chance to put your business in the street. Because now it's electronic health records. As soon as you leave the doctor's office, your business goes online. Any hacker who wants it has got it. And the government, it goes straight to the government, because now with the Affordable Health Care Act, the government is the insurer. So if you want to put your business in the street, sure, go get the exams. But they said it offers an opportunity to chit-chat, share information. But this information is not going to affect your lifespan. It's not going to affect your quality of life. Doctors' record in helping anyone lose weight is notoriously poor. Totally ineffective, to put it mildly. Why do you think there's so much weight loss surgery if doctors were so successful helping folks lose weight? And even the weight loss surgery doesn't work. So, you know, this is nonsense.
Order cancer screening tests. That's another one why they said this is a benefit.
Not a benefit. Because if you're a woman and you get a screening mammogram and you're diagnosed with cancer, there's a 90% chance that what you're diagnosed with is harmless. Doesn't require any therapy or intervention at all. It's left alone would not even affect your life expectancy. And the women who die as a result of the unnecessary chemotherapy, mastectomies, and biopsies is substantial.
They even had a physician who wrote in who said that they too have found that these are not particularly helpful and they're not cost effective either. And this is
those are euphemisms. And not helpful means it doesn't benefit the patient. We call that fraud. You know, if you took your car into somebody, the mechanic, and he took out your engine, put in a new engine, and everything was just as bad as it was before, you would say you had been defrauded, wouldn't you say that?
Absolutely.
This is the same thing. What that doctor politely said was, this is fraud. This is fraud. We are stripping people down. We are fondling them. We're sodomizing them. We're invading their bodies. We're cutting off women's breasts fraudulently. And that's true.
You just used the term sodomize. I know you did a whole broadcast talking about rape of women in America, and you went specifically to doctors and doing these pelvic examinations and saying that this is rape. Can you kind of explain what you mean?
Yes, rape is sexual touching without permission. That's rape. And rape without permission means if a person does it under false pretenses. In other words, if they lie to the person who's permitted the touching. So if you lie to a woman and say, this pelvic exam is going to help you live longer because we're going to detect cervical cancer, then you're lying. If you do a pap smear on somebody who doesn't have a uterus or cervix, that's sexual touching. And because you've lied, you don't have that woman, that her consent is not valid, and you've raped her. Most women don't know that 6 women out of 100,000 will die of cervical cancer if not screened. And if you screen women, you reduce that number to 3 out of 300,000 that will die. So where's the gain? I mean, that number is so small and minuscule, it's nonsense. You know, how can you measure something that accurately to figure out that it's 3 per 100,000 and not 6 per 100,000?
Infinitesimal, I think that was the term you used when discussing all this. And you talked about a lot of the false pretense that is given for these rectal exams and prescriptions that are just really destroying people's sex lives, which is just another aspect of this rape and disruption. Is that correct?
Absolutely. If you're involved in a happy relationship, the quickest way to ruin it is go see your doctor. Go see your doctor.
Before I move forward, I saw other folks called in. I'll make sure we give opportunity for as many people to get their questions in as possible. Thomas in New York, did you have a question for Dr. Daniels? Thomas in New York. Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you today to the Gus and the guests and the callers? Wow, I learned a lot. I have a couple of questions for the guest. What's the alternative to vaccinations?
The alternative to vaccinations. You're presuming that vaccines work. You're presuming that they have a purpose other than damaging people. The alternative to vaccinations is to go on about your life. The diseases that are being vaccinated against are not prevalent. The only way to get polio is to get the vaccine. That's the only source of polio in the United States is the vaccine. So what would be the alternative to the vaccine? I mean, what would be another way to get polio if you're looking for polio? You know what I'm saying? So, and the MMR, it gives black boys autism at fourfold the rate of anyone else. So you're asking, is there another way to get autism besides getting the MMR vaccine? You're presupposing there's an upside to these vaccines. I'm here to tell you there is not. There is no proven upside to these vaccines, none whatever. And you go look and read the package insert. The package insert will tell you this vaccine is not proven to be effective. For every vaccine, they have that disclaimer.
The new vaccine that they're trying to come out with, I forgot what it was for, but they're saying there's no religious exemptions for this one. Is there
correct
a reason why?
Yeah, because they think that you own your body and you don't, so it's up to you to decide who owns your body. None of these vaccines are safe or effective, and the reason why they're not effective is because there is no such thing as immunity. What these vaccines pretend to give does not exist. So what does immunity mean? Immunity means that once you get a disease, you can never get it again. That is patently false. People get strep throat again and again and again and again and again. If your immune system is weak enough, then you can always get an infection again. You can get infections many times. So there is no such thing as immunity, because whether or not you get a disease is dependent upon the strength of your immune system. At whatever point the circumstance arises where your immune system is weak enough, then you'll get the disease. For example, people get chickenpox as children, and they get over it. Why? Their immune system is strong. Then as they get older and their immune system weakens, they get the same disease. It's called shingles. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't the kid immune to chickenpox? He got chickenpox? No. The kid basically had a strong enough immune system. The immune system took care of it, suppressed it, tucked it away, and then when the kid's immune system got weak again as an older person, it came back out. And so there is no immunity. And for chickenpox, we see this. If a kid has chickenpox in your middle years, it's called herpes, sexually transmitted disease. As you get older, they call it shingles. All the same virus expressing itself. There is no immunity. There's no immunity. The concept is a fraud. And so since there's no immunity, then no vaccine can possibly confer it on you.
Well, okay.
That's telling me that Santa Claus didn't show up last week. What are we going to do about it? Well, we all know Santa Claus is imaginary. So if you want Santa Claus to show up, you better get dressed up like Santa Claus and show up. You know what I'm saying? The concept of immunity is false. It's a fraud. So anything that proposes to make you immune has to necessarily be a fraud. So then you're asking me, doctor, can you help me find a fraud to replace the other fraud? I mean, that wasn't your intention. I'm just telling you that's what you're asking.
Very interesting. I know that I've heard a lot of verbiage over the last few years that the GMO foods and the SSRIs, I believe it's called, and the pathogens are causing homosexuality. It's putting high levels of estrogen inside of male children. In some places, their testicles aren't dropping. And it's also putting high levels of estrogen in females, and which their body can't process anymore, so they start turning that to testosterone. And you know what we're seeing is a lot of the homosexuality on a rampant pace in the black community. Are these vaccines also? Do you think they have anything to do with that?
I think the vaccines basically just turn the person into an android. Since they couldn't make robots to be like people, they're making people to be like robots. And the vaccination program is part of that effort. And android robots, pretty much by definition, are asexual. They can't reproduce. And so there you go. There's an HPV vaccine to make sure these androids don't reproduce. And then you have the other vaccine to dumb them down, to make them not intelligent, to blunt their desires and motivation. So I think it's just a plan to turn people into androids, into asexual people. I mean, you're using the words homosexual or lesbian, whatever, but what it comes down to is you want people to form unions that don't produce offspring. That's the key concept here.
I got you. My last question is, I heard someone say this before, and someone, the caller earlier mentioned this, that they give the newborn babies, I think it's like 19 or 22 shots before they leave the hospital. What are those shots for?
They give the baby before they leave the hospital about 4 or 5 shots. Yeah, 4 or 5 shots. That person's referring to the first year or two of life. And those shots are supposedly vaccines. There is a shot your child gets in the hospital called a vitamin K shot or aquamycin shot. And this shot causes neonatal jaundice and mental retardation. So that would be a good shot to refuse. In fact, the more you look at it, it makes more sense to have the kid at home. I had my third baby at home, and I tell you, it was a very easy birth. If I had known how easy it was to have a baby, one, I would have had all of them at home, and two, I would have had a lot more of them.
And there's no way you could leave a hospital without the baby getting those 4 or 5 shots?
You could, but it's difficult to do, and you have to really put up a fight. First, you have to sign papers saying you don't want the shot. You got to tell them if you don't want the shot. Then you have to snatch the baby away from the nurses, because the first thing you do when the baby's born is take them over to the side of the room, slap them on the table, and give them the shot. So, you know, why fuss about it? Why not just have the baby at home? Birth outcomes at home are not worse than in the hospital. And it's possible, even certainly for the mother, the outcome in the at home, home birth, is safer than a hospital birth.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's why I had my third baby at home, because I had such a disastrous near-death experience with my second baby. You know what? It may not be any better at home, but it won't be any worse. If God wants to kill me, he'll have to do it with his own hands. And everything went smooth, 2.5 hours, boom, done, baby out.
Dee, appreciate that caller, Thomas in New York. The person, I think this is Bruce Fine. I might be wrong. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels?
Yes. Good evening, Gus and listeners. Dr. Daniels, I just want your opinion on the Angelina Jolie continual saga of her, you know, having a double mastectomy. I think the other day she had her ovarian. I think it was her ovarian tube. Something she had. Taken out, and she's doing this because she says that cancer runs in her family. She's trying to minimize the risk of catching, you know, of getting cancer. And she says with this recent surgery that she's had, she's now in the throes of menopause. Is all of that she's done? Do you think that will minimize her getting cancer, or is just mutilation?
All the evidence so far is that it's mutilation.
Okay.
So far. But it goes a step further than that. I mean, it's, you know, first of all, do you know Angelina Jolie? Have you met her?
No.
You haven't met her? Okay. I haven't met her either. So what I'm trying to say here is we haven't met Angelina Jolie. We don't know Angelina Jolie. All we know about her is she's an award-winning actress. We don't know if she ever had any breast surgery or any ovarian surgery. We don't know if this is just a big act they're putting on to get American women to submit to disfiguration. We don't know.
Absolutely.
We don't
know. You
know,
that ran across my mind.
Well, yeah, great minds think alike. Mm-hmm. So actually, I write comic strips, and I wrote a whole bunch of comic strips about the Angelina Jolie situation. I unfortunately don't have my comic strip folder out now. But, yeah, it's definitely, this is something that we need to really just take a big belly laugh over this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to count this as another one of Angelina Jolie's Oscar-winning performances.
Absolutely.
That's about where I would put this.
Mm-hmm. I felt that way with her having to always make these big announcements, and I think the New York Times to let us know she's, you know, allegedly having these surgeries and how she is advising other women, you know, to do so. So that, just what you said ran across my mind.
Yeah, we have an award-winning actress, and we just need to either enjoy the performance or change the channel, but realize it's all pretend.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you for your answer.
You're welcome.
Let's see, the person that dialed in last four digits, 9298. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels?
Hi, it's Lady from New York. I had a couple questions about women's health.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the three main questions would be concerning birth control in African-American women, weight loss, and now with women being so obese, they're going to extremes with weight loss and then even having excessive surgeries. Now they're, you know, doing the lipos and the tummy tucks and the fat transfers. Can you give some insight on what the best options would be other than those procedures for weight loss and also for birth control for African-American women?
Well, really, again, you have to realize this is a woman's issue, both African-American and not, but let's just take the African-American point of this. What has happened is African-American women have been hoodwinked into believing that they need to exterminate the next generation in order to get an education and take care of themselves economically. And it's simply not true. I'm 58 years old, and I now have many peers, contemporaries, who went to professional school just like I did, who remained barren. We thought we could put our childbearing off until who knows when, waiting for just the right time, waiting to be married, waiting for this, waiting for that, whatever, waiting for Godot. And what has happened is the birth rate among African Americans has dropped so low that if the next generation does what we did, then there won't be any blacks in the United States pretty soon. So blacks have been indoctrinated into exterminating themselves. That's number one. Next, with the birth control, what has happened, especially with these long-term shots, you know, get a shot every 90 days or whatever, women have gained tremendous weight with these shots. They started having heart attacks. And they have developed personality changes that make them unable to sustain a relationship of any kind anyway. So the birth control is just really atrocious. What I would say to women in terms of birth control, I know it sounds really retro, is one, use the Ribbon Method, and two, if you get pregnant, go ahead and have the baby. It may be the only baby you ever have. And better to have the baby younger than older, at least then your parents can help you out. Like, I'm 58 years old. My kids don't have any kids yet. I told them, I said, what are you waiting for? You know, if you have kids now, at least you're going to have a healthy grandmother. I can help out. I can do things for you. Oh, no, Mom. I'm waiting until I make my first million. But this is ridiculous. I mean, I waited until I got married to have kids. I wouldn't have had kids or started trying to have kids until I was 51. But as I was leaving medical school, I was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I am not sterilizing myself over this medical degree. I'm having kids, I'm having a family, and I have three children by artificial insemination, but I did it. And I'm very happy today that I have those three children. I don't have a medical license anymore. I don't have a medical practice anymore, but I've got my three children, I've got a family, and it's amazing. So what's happened is black people, would-be grandparents, children of everybody's been indoctrinated into believing that pregnancy is evil and childbirth is evil. So that's a problem. Next, weight loss. You have to look at why the weight gain. And when you have the women allowing themselves to be fed by the system, whether it's through food stamps, whether it's through the school breakfast program, the school lunch program, that's why they're fat. They're fat because they're being poisoned. And I think that African Americans, whites, every American, need to develop a hefty amount of suspicion towards grief-bearing gifts. And the government's not doing you a favor when it's taxing you and then handing you, buying poison for you with your tax dollars and then poisoning you with it. Now you'll say, well, Dr. Daniel, a lot of people are poor and they're not paying taxes. Well, they are deluded because they are paying taxes. If you take a person who's on, who's receiving, who's paying rent, working poor, 30 to 50% of their rent payment is actually property taxes. And poor people pay property taxes at twice the rate that wealthier homeowners do. So all this Medicaid stuff that people are getting, they personally are the ones paying for it. And it's because of this Medicaid system, because of the high taxes for it, that they will never be homeowners because they can't get out of the cycle of rentership because the rents are so high. It takes all their money and they can't ever save to be a homeowner. And most poor people aren't aware that they personally are paying for their own bondage. They personally are paying for Medicaid. No one else is paying for it. There is no free lunch. This idea that some rich guy across town or some white person in the suburbs is paying state taxes or property taxes so that you can have Medicaid, that's just not the case. Because, like in Syracuse, for example, the tax rate in the suburbs was less than half that in the city. And then you take a tax rate in the city, the tax rate in the city, even though it's very high, the renters pay double that. And so, literally, the poorest people who were renters were paying the highest taxes, fourfold higher than, you know, people in the suburbs. And you asked about obesity, surgery, liposuction. You know, when we were in medical school, there was this big deal that doctors were not recommending open heart surgery, cardiac cath, and various tests for African Americans at the same rate they were recommending it for whites. And finally, they had to sit the doctors down and say, you're cutting off your income. You need to start recommending this stuff so you can have enough income to pay off your loans and live the lifestyle you want. Well, then they got it. And so now blacks are subject to the same excessive testing and overdiagnosis that whites are. And so there you have equality. And so they give you the shot to make you fat, give you the food stamps to make you fat, and then make money off of the surgery and liposuction to get rid of the fat. It's just ka-ching, ka-ching, you know. That's really all it is. As far as being a black woman, the way out of this is to realize that women are meant to have babies. Maybe not 20, but they're meant to have babies. At least make up your mind that the first one you're going to keep, no matter who the father is. And, you know, if you just do that one thing, it'll change a lot. And then make up your mind that you're not going to get prenatal care, and you're not going to get vaccines, and you're going to breastfeed. You don't need anybody's formula. And as far as food stamps go, you know, don't accept them. You know, get your friends and families to bring you food. Or if you have to use food stamps, use them at the farmer's market. But you've got to make up your mind that you're going to extract yourself from the system. And you just got to do it at every turn and take responsibility for yourself in whatever way, however small.
I'd also like to know, is there a link between ADHD? A lot of boys are just getting thrown this diagnosis, and diet, or if not diet, then the vaccinations? Or is it just...
Yeah, so the total link to diet. Yeah, I used to be the medical director of a detention center for teenagers. We had teenagers of all different colors and economic backgrounds that came there, but the one thing they had in common was they came on ADHD drugs. And I was literally able to stop absolutely every single drug just by changing a diet in the prison. And the kids behaved. They said thank you and please. They paid attention. They stopped arguing. There were no fights just by changing their diet.
What kind of diet are you recommending? I have a little one, and to me, he just acts like his uncle. And I was told at, like, 4, he has ADHD, and I'm like, what? I didn't ask you for a diagnosis, or I wasn't trying to get him diagnosed, saying there's anything wrong with them. But, you know, he's saying he's got ADHD. So I said, okay, if he's hyper, then is it diet? No, and you didn't do anything wrong, and everyone wants to pat me on the back. I'm like, well, surely, you know, because if he's very energetic, if he's, to me, if he's having too much sugar, having too much breads or whatever it might be, then it would be diet. And they're like, no, and you need to start him on medicine. He has ADHD and anxiety. I'm like, the kid's never been afraid of anything in his life. So I know he doesn't have anxiety, but so I asked, could diet ever be a factor if this survey says the child has ADHD? And I was told, no, to get that out of my mind, the child needs to start taking medications at 4. Of course, I walked out of there without any medication or script. But I just kind of, I want to know, you know, like what is this new phenomenon? Because my mom, you know, everyone had it when I was, you know, 25 years ago when I was growing up, and every mom did the same thing I did. But now 4 out of 5 friends are either giving their kids the drug or thinking about giving their kids the drug. And I'm like, all of our boys cannot just have ADHD, and it's not related to something else other than they just were born that way.
Right. They don't all have the same father.
Well.
For sure. All right,
I live in a small town, so I don't know.
diet is pretty simple, especially if you're at home. You can control the food. Do not allow the kid to eat any institutionalized food. Cook everything from scratch and don't use prepared foods. That's pretty much it. In the prison, we were not even able to get organic stuff. We had to settle for regular food. And all the kids did was they stopped soda pop, they stopped milk, and they just drank water as their only beverage. And they ate vegetables and rice and potatoes and just plain food.
Okay.
So no Go-Gurt, no hamburger helper, no packaged Kool-Aid, no bottled juices, nothing. You know, if the kid wants something sweet, well, they have a piece of fruit. And that's pretty much, you know, the size of it. Oh, we also gave them one B-complex 50 vitamin pill. That's if they accepted it. Well, I think half of them did. So B-complex 50, and then a couple of spoons of black strep molasses. And what else did we do? Put some rice bran in their food. So gave them a couple of tablespoons of rice bran every day.
There was something you said before the molasses and the rice bran. What was it?
B complex 50. It's a vitamin pill.
Okay. All right.
If he's 4 years old, he might be a little young for that.
I know. I was like, you know, it was like literally the day of his 4th birthday, and I'm like, were we waiting to do this diagnosis? Because from my understanding where I'm at, they don't like to diagnose them. They don't like to diagnose them before 4 or 5. So I'm like, right at the cusp, and now they're diagnosed.
Yeah, the drugs are not approved when you're below a certain age. That's the problem.
Well, needless to say, I walked out of there, and the doctors and nurses were very upset that.
Yeah, now, with all the government surveillance, you might want to walk out with the prescription and say, we'll get him started right away. Just do what you want to do.
Okay. Yeah, because they were, I feel like I'm under the radar now if I come in whatsoever.
Yeah, you're on the radar. You need to stop showing up. So this kid gets no more well child visits, nothing.
Okay, sounds wonderful. Thank you. I'll mute my line.
Mm-hmm.
The person that dialed in last 4 digits, 1447. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Gus. Dwight from South Alabama. Dr. Daniels, thank you for being on the show. Very educational, very helpful. I tuned in late, so I don't know if you've already answered this, but I was just wanting to know about the whole colon cancer, prostate cancer, I'm sorry, prostate cancer, and, you know, what are the correct ages? I know I'm hearing 40, 50 years old, you should have your first exam, and, you know, like I say, if you already answered it, I'm sorry, but, yeah, I'd just like to know a little bit about that. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. This is a good time for me to just basically do a little disclaimer. Any information I give you is not to be construed as medical advice to diagnose, treat, or remedy any condition. And should you decide for any reason to accept any information that I said, you do so at your own risk, and I accept absolutely no responsibility for the consequences of any of it. All right, there's a disclaimer.
Gotcha.
All right. You guys probably know there's a singer named Diana Ross. Diana Ross had a song, and it was, if there's a cure for this, I don't want it. I'll run from it. And that's pretty much what comes down to the prostate cancer. If you have prostate cancer and you die of the prostate cancer, the median age or life expectancy of somebody with untreated prostate cancer is 81 years of age. The life expectancy for a healthy male in the United States is 76 years of age. So, if you have prostate cancer and you get it cured, you can expect it to shorten your life expectancy by 6 years.
Huh.
So, do you want it cured? Do you want it detected? Do you want it treated? I don't think so.
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, that information, by the way, is on the government's website, .gov website. You can Google it. Life expectancy of somebody with prostate cancer is 81 years. Life expectancy of, you know, a healthy male in the United States, 76 years.
Just letting folks know, we have about 15 minutes left in the broadcast. So if you have a question, something Dr. Daniels has not covered thus far, you should get your hand up right now. Do not lollygag and wait till the last minute. The number again is 760-569-7676, and the code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you have a question. Just checking, you said with your last child, you had that child at home. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Did you have a midwife?
No, because I was in New York State and it was illegal. I didn't want to get anyone in trouble.
Wow.
So I had a party. I had some friends come over, and I told them what to do, and they did it.
Outstanding. If you had it to do over again, you would have had all three of your children that way?
Oh, yeah, all three of them for sure.
The person that dialed in last four digits, 0747, did you have a question for Dr. Daniels? Your line should be open, 0747.
Hello, guests. This is Mr. Hill from Washington, D.C. How are you doing today?
Right poorly.
The good doctor, I have maybe three questions I want to ask you. The first question is about selenium. Is that a good trace mineral to take?
Yes, it is.
And my second question is, you say, I wanted to ask this question. Do you think that racism, white supremacy is not a health factor for black people?
It is a health factor in that we are trained in medical school to understand that every black male is a potential criminal and every pregnant woman who's black is going to give birth to a crime wave. But it's our responsibility as responsible physicians to still provide care to them. And this is exactly what I was told in medical school. I could not believe it. And so what happens is, the doctors, black and white, are given an education that's totally laced with racism and laced with hostility towards patients who have brown skin, or African Americans to be precise. And it really broke my heart to see how my black classmates just yucked this up. For example, I was talking to a classmate of mine, at the end of the day, he'd been doing some kind of psychiatry rotation, I was doing another rotation, and he told me how he had spoken to this African-American patient who supposedly was hooked on alcohol or something. And it was rather abusive language. And I said, oh, my God, why don't you talk to him that way? He said, well, you don't expect me to coddle him, do you? And so doctors, black and white, are trained in this hostile, abusive atmosphere toward African-American patients. And again, the beauty of the civil rights movement is now they're training black doctors to do to black people and black patients what before only white doctors did, because, of course, blacks didn't become doctors. And so, yes, as a black male with health insurance, your life is seriously in danger. I would say as a black male, if you have health insurance, the best thing you can do for your health is drop your health insurance. That's numero uno. And
I'm not talking about the doctors. I'm talking about society. I'm not even getting into the whole thing. I'm talking about the society as a whole, as in general. I'm not even talking about a black person visiting a physician, but as in society, dealing with everyday life, the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations. I certainly don't think trials and tribulations of a black person and a white person are the same in the society. And I wanted to know what was your take on that particular aspect as far as health for black people?
I think that it's damaging for blacks and for whites. Let me give you an example. When I was black, I grew up in the ghetto. I had zero social status and I knew it. In other words, nobody can punch me and say, hey, Jennifer, if you do ABC, I'll be your friend. Because I knew they weren't going to be my friend no matter what I did. So I was very free. Whereas the whites that I encountered in my integrated situation, these people were absolutely nervous wrecks because their whole life depended on their social status. Their whole life depended on whether someone liked them or not. They were so seriously insecure, it was just pitiful to behold. So no matter what station you're born to, you know, it has its issues. And many of those students never liked anything. I mean, compared to what I've done with my life, they just fizzled. They were totally demoralized at the age of, you know, 10 to 13, just totally demoralized.
And that sounds wonderful, but at the same time, I don't think none of them have to worry about getting shot, stabbed, or by the police or about any other white person. So my question to you is, what you're saying may be true in one state, but at the same time, they don't have to deal with someone on a day-to-day basis who be, and that's his definition, abused based on the color of their skin. So my question to you is that at a life expectancy the white people that black people don't have?
The issue with life expectancy for black people, I feel, is the total lack of social status and importance. And that has been worsened because blacks have delegated their sense of personal importance to the establishment, so to speak. For example, when I was a kid, again, as a black kid, you were going nowhere and everybody knew it. So if a kid came home from school with straight D's, the parents weren't going to beat him, because what's the difference if he got straight A's? You know, it was not going to change his life. And so the kid didn't have the enforcement of the external society entering his life. There's a lot of personal freedom. But happened is blacks have voluntarily abdicated that freedom. And now what we see is blacks have said, oh, my God, I've got to get a good resume. Oh, my God, I've got to get a good credit score. They're trying to squeeze themselves into this box that's so small, no human being can fit in it. The only thing that is a problem with blacks and their low social status is they tend to get put in areas that are high in pollution and contaminants. You know, the trash burning plant is located right by their house, for example. The house is built on a toxic dump, those types of things. For example, in Syracuse, they built the housing in a place so all the kids got asthma. So
right, I get that, yeah. But I'm talking about like a Tamir Rice or a gentleman who just got killed by the police officer in New York, those type of things. I'm not talking about a environmental thing.
Yeah, I can't get a lot of sympathy over that, you know, because 880,000 people every year are murdered by the healthcare system, and these murders by police are just a distraction. You know, these ladies called in tonight about their kids being immunized and damaged with autism and having their lives ended prematurely. That's what's really going on, and they're distracting you with this police violence thing, which is killing, what, not even 1,000 blacks a year, maybe 2,000? And then you got your parents being murdered in nursing homes. You got your people on Social Security being murdered, 180,000 people a year, by the admission of the Medicare Inspector General himself.
So,
look at what is a real hazard and what is imagined. And you have to look at the theater being created in your mind to distract you from what's happening.
I don't think that's a distraction. That's really real. I mean, all of it is the same to me when it comes to racism and white supremacy. They work hand in hand. The question I'm saying to you, what you're saying is true in one sense, but you're saying because this is because something else is happening, it doesn't matter. So the question I'm asking, I'm sorry, I don't want to dominate the question. I have this last one. Have you heard about Henrietta Lacks?
Yes, I have heard about Henrietta Lacks.
Right. So things of that nature, or you have things like that, when they took the woman's genes and they used the black woman's genes, things of that nature, you don't find any of those things with dealing with the health system with racism and white supremacy for black folks has nothing to do with the health disparities that's in this country.
Correct. The health disparities has to do with people submitting to the health system, not lack of health care.
Submitting to it. And I have one more question. What is your political, are you a Democrat, Republican, or independent?
I don't understand the question. I don't vote. I think it's a farce, a waste of my time. I'm a busy person. I have things to do, so I don't vote.
Okay, very interesting. Answer some very good questions for me. I greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate that, Mr. Hill, long time listener. Person that dialed in block number. I do have it. 0998. 0998. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels? You should be with us, or I guess if you give me a moment to... Oh, I got you. 0998, did you have a question for Dr. Daniels? Caller, last four digits, 0998. Did you have a question for Dr. Daniels?
Yes, good evening. Thank you very much for a very informative program tonight. I am thoroughly enjoying the doctor. I was wondering if there's anything to help reverse when a person has been under a tremendous amount of stress. I have found that I'm actually aging beyond my chronological years because of the severe stress that I've been under, having to deal with jobs and family members, and I don't drink, don't smoke, don't use drugs, never run the streets, never done any of that. But I have people offering me seats on the bus now. So that means that I am aging rapidly. I have deep circles under my eyes, and I want to know if there's anything that can be done to help me to relax, to release some of this stress, so that I can maybe not get so many offers for seats on the bus. And I know this is very surface, but
Right.
Something that I've been, you know, wondering about and dealing with for the last couple of years. So I'll listen to your answer offline. I'll mute myself.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I can imagine what you're going through. When the licensing board came after me, they kept fabricating charges and making up things and breaking the law, and it was a mess. And then I took my license away. I had no income. My family told me I was irresponsible for losing my license. Why couldn't I just murder patients like all the other doctors were doing? And didn't I realize this was inconvenient for them? So I was making a lot of money. It was a lot of stress, a tremendous amount of stress. It got to where I couldn't relax during the day. I couldn't sleep at night. I was getting threatening mails or letters from the government. I was put on a terrorist watch list. I got put on one do not employ list, then another do not employ list, and I was stressed. And the only thing that relieved it was I just bought a ticket out of the country, and it took about 30 days, and I decompressed, and, you know, it's been pretty good. So you've got to remove yourself from the stress, whatever that means. Maybe it means quitting your job, leaving your family, and just getting some space. But there is no drug, natural or otherwise, that, anything that would lower your stress to a tolerable level would pretty much put you into a coma. Because what the stress is telling you is your body is telling you that it cannot tolerate this, that you have got to let go of this. And for me, it was very difficult, and I had to let go of all three of my children. I had to say, you know what, you guys, you're on your own. You know, I had my mother telling my children what an awful person I was, and telling me how worthless I was. Then I had, of course, I couldn't even travel. I was getting the crotch search before it was cool, you know, back in the early 2000s. It was just awful. And so I just bought a ticket, and I started searching for other countries. It might be that maybe you could find a place in the United States that would lower your stress, get you away from your job, get you away from these family members and, you know, the stress. But you've got to get rid of the stress. There's no substitute for that. You know, in the midst of your stress, you could try eating healthy. But quite frankly, cooking from scratch on top of being all the stress that you have would just add to your stress. So you've got to get out of that way. You've got to just swallow your pride, if that's what you want to call it, and just run. Run. Don't walk. Run. Just get away from these people. Right. That's probably not what you want to hear.
She said she was going to take her answer offline, so I'm curious to how she responded to all that, but definitely thank you.
Hey, you know, I just want to say about the prostate cancer, that they've now come out, standard of care, that if a person has early prostate cancer, the doctor is not to intervene, it's just to watch and wait. Now they said, oh, wait, for medium-level prostate cancer, we're realizing the doctor's intervention is not helpful. Do you see where this is going? So prostate cancer is quickly becoming no longer a medically treatable disease. So they rolled out the prostate cancer fraud. They played it for 20 years for what it was worth. And now, apparently, some pretty important guys got their nuts cut off, and they're not happy. And so the standard of care is changing.
Wow. Deception all the time. I'm trying to make sure I didn't miss our last caller here. I think they called in from a blocked number. Let's see if I can nab them. Oh, we got them. Okay. I'm not confused. I think we nabbed all of our callers. And again, for folks, if you're listening to the archives or you weren't able to dial in to get your question, you can always go to Dr. Daniel's website, vitalitycapsules.com. Vitalitycapsules.com. You can submit questions. She has contact information if you want to get more details. She has products available, all of her archives from the radio broadcast that she hosts, Healing with Dr. Daniels with the Rainbow Soul Channel, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And Sundays at 8 p.m. You can check it out, get more information, what we talked about tonight, and a myriad of other topics. Really appreciated having you on the program, Dr. Daniels. Anything you want to let folks know before we sign off?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty easygoing. But it's been a pleasure talking to people, and I do invite people to visit my site, vitalitycapsules.com, and actually get my free report, vitalitycapsules.com/candida, and talks about the healing powers of turpentine, lost healing art that African Americans practiced as slaves even into the 20th century.
I'm looking at it right now. I will link it on my Facebook page. I'll tweet it out as well so folks can access that. But again, it's vitalitycapsules.com. That's for the website. And then the report, just put in /candida, and you should be able to access the report as well. But thoroughly enjoyed having you on the program. As I said, a lot of our listeners are big fans of your work. I know they were really appreciative of you sharing some of your time with us this evening, Dr. Daniels. Please continue your outstanding work, and we will definitely look forward. Well, we'll be following the website, but we'll definitely look forward to being in touch and having you speak with us again.
Okay, no. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Be safe. Be well. Context of White Supremacy, Dr. Jennifer Daniels. The website again, vitalitycapsules.com. Vitalitycapsules.com. And check it out. Should be linked in the description for folks who are listening at Black Talk Radio Network. And I'm putting the report on my Facebook page right now so folks can access that if you are so inclined. We will, if folks have any comments, what have you, they want to share, we will make time for that as well. Any of the information that you heard from Dr. Daniels this evening, I was reminded just during the course of the discussion and even some of the questions that listeners asked, because I heard this, or I hear this all the time, really, that to go about solving the system of white supremacy, we need to criticize black people. And I'm always amazed when I hear that, because I just do not see, nor do I hear, a shortage of black people being criticized. That seems to be one of the most popular endeavors on the planet, worldwide, to sit around and talk about things that black people are doing that are messed up. That seems pretty regular occurrence. And it seems like that's been in effect for a long time. Like, I'm continually just left scratching my head when people present that as though that's not happening, and that's what we need to do to solve this problem. We need to get on these black people and criticize them. Like, I guess that is not the opinion that I've taken. That is not my conclusion. The folks that are most to blame for everything that is happening, has happened, is going to happen, that is incorrect, are white. That doesn't mean that we can't make definite improvements in what we're doing. Absolutely. I hope that is happening, myself included. I definitely think we have lots of improvements to make. But all of these errors are the result of what is happening under the system of white supremacy, white terrorism. Anywho, we will take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Before we hit our commercial, speaking of white terrorism, one of our listeners, she recommended a documentary film. It was, it's tons, we've done programs on this and everything. There are documentary films, there are many documentary films on this, actually. One of them is called Banished. It's done by a black male. He also, the same black male, his name is escaping me for the moment, but the same black male, he also did the documentary film Two Towns in Jasper about the murder of James Byrd Jr. Back in the late 90s. But that film, it goes over many different towns where whites came and terrorized black people and forced them to leave and stole their property. This happened all over the country. We did, white male wrote the book, Elliot Jaspin, Buried in the Bitter Waters, where it's the same subject matter. He said that this happened well over 200 times, documented, just going and looking at census records and digging through the catacombs. But there's another film that focuses specifically on Corbin, Kentucky. This is another small town where this happened as well in 1919, where they forcibly evicted all the black people, probably killed quite a few of them. there's a book that just came out recently. I think it came out in 2014. I mentioned it on the Saturday program. David Krugler, with this white guy, wrote about 1919 and all of these incidents, Corbin, Texas, amongst others. And there's a documentary film that came out about 20 years ago that's called Troubled Waters, that is exclusive to Corbin, Texas. And it's a black filmmaker, which makes it even more interesting. But he goes back to this town. It's like all white people, and is talking to them. Some of them, they were alive at the time that this happened, so they remember it. Some of them even participated. He's got this white guy who's talking about shooting his gun as the black people. It's on YouTube. You should definitely check it out. A listener told me about it. I'd never even heard of it. A listener told me about it yesterday, and so I watched it since we did not have the program yesterday evening. It is fascinating for a myriad of reasons. This is just a little 60-second teaser to set you up about this film, where this white guy is talking and giving you some of the details. If folks who've been listening to The Cows long enough, this might remind you of Dr. Frances Cress Welsing and one of the anecdotes that she shared about her time in college, some of the things that she experienced. But yeah, this is from Trouble Behind, a documentary on white terrorism in Corbett, Texas. We'll play that, get some of the commercials in, and then we'll hear from folks if they have any feedback. Context of white supremacy.
I had a dog growing up. Show you a picture of him. Black, white feet, white throat, little white tip on his tail. I loved that dog. That dog knew when I was going to service. He knew when I got in trouble. He knew when I was phoning home. He'd come up, lay on the porch, and look at the phone. And it'd ring if it was from me. He'd bark like wild, make sure somebody answered the phone. You know what his name was? Nigger.
Nigger! And that was your dog?
That's right. I loved that dog. That wasn't no bad name. That's because he was black, shiny, pretty, muscular. Come on, nigger. You see? I wasn't using it in a bad way. They were run out of town not because they were black. They were run out of Corbin because they were drinking, gambling, and raising all kinds of cane with their newfound pocket money from the railroad.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? CounterRacism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
Do you need a one-stop shop for all of your multimedia needs? Triumphant Multimedia is a skilled team of professionals with a passion for great marketing and chic design. Our specialties include consulting, brand development, copywriting, and creative graphic design. That's second to none. We also offer photography, photo retouching, videography, and video editing. At Triumphant Multimedia, our goal is to provide highly effective creative solutions built to suit any individual need or budget. Give us a call at 678-732-8067 or check us out online at TRIMultimedia.com.
Everyone, welcome. This is Justice with the Cows Radio program. If you want to learn about, understand, and counter racism, white supremacy, be sure not to miss a Cows episode. We keep them jammed, packed with constructive information to sharpen your use of words to help eliminate the system of racism, white supremacy, ASAP. Also, to be able to invest in my counter racist efforts, co-hosting the Cows Radio program, please visit my blog, justdojusticetoday.blogspot.com.
You're just saying just buckets and buckets of words.
Right on. Context of white supremacy. We were supposed to be on yesterday, but our guest canceled with short notice. That's what it is. We should be here tomorrow. However, a person on Twitter, I contacted this person a while back, and they didn't respond. But for whatever reason, the second time around, it worked. So I guess persistence pays sometimes. He uses the Twitter handle Very White Guy. He writes, talks about racism normally, using the language of white privilege. And, of course, he is in a sexual arrangement with a black female. He should be on the program tomorrow, normal broadcast time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Feel free, chime in. Always interesting to speak directly with the problem. White folks. That being said, I will again encourage that documentary film, Trouble Behind. Actually, you should watch both of those. Trouble Behind, that's the clip that you heard previously where the white man talks about his favorite dog. And then Banished, which is pretty great too, although Banished is not just focused on one specific town. But that film is pretty, and they're both on YouTube, actually, now that I think about it. You can do a twofer. Excellent films, both of them. Banished even shows a black male. It's one of those, like, Midwestern towns where they did the same thing. They terrorized all the black people and made them leave. Killed quite a few of them, I'm sure. And the descendants, they were going back. I think they were either trying to get their father's remains or their grandfather's remains. I just don't remember which it was, but they were trying to get the remains. That took a whole lot of wrangling. The whites were being stubborn about that too. And then they finally okayed it. They were able to move the remains because the black people were saying, justly so, that, hey, our family has no interest in ever setting foot in this town again. We would like to move the remains to make it easier for family members to come and pay their respects to a lost loved one. And so the whites finally begrudgingly agreed and did this. And then I loved it. The black people, once they got the body extricated, I think the bill was, I don't remember what it was. It was a significant sum of money to do all of this. Anyway, and they said, it's not that we don't have the money. We have the money. It is about restitution and acknowledging that there was wrongdoing. We think you all should pay the bill for this, you know, having to move the remains of our loved one. It was fantastic. And then just seeing the whites like, are you niggas? It's like, it's great. You should check it out. Banished. I think it's on YouTube. It's the same black male who did the documentary film Two Towns of Jasper. Anywho, folks have comments they would like to share based on the info that they heard on the program. Dr. Daniels, you can feel free to chime in. I'll just open the lines for folks who had a hand up. If you have any comments, you can feel free to share. If you just watch the background noise, I would definitely appreciate that. Thank everyone. Had a hand up. Your line
should be heard.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I think the guy who was talking to her about white supremacy, I think what he was trying to say, correct me if I'm wrong, is that usually people who are under, victims of white supremacy have more compromised immune system. It's like the syndrome of you're going outside and someone punches you in the face and someone punches you behind and you can't even make it out the front door because you're just so punched up. So I kind of understand what he was saying, that I do agree that we do have more compromised immune systems because of the stress that we're under. White people do not face the stress that we're under, and they talk about that a lot on the health channels that I listen to, that African Americans face far more stress than, white people do. Also, I wish I had the opportunity to ask her, because I know a lot of participants are saying to themselves and my family too, okay, it's like, why did immunization affect my child and it didn't affect the other ones in the family? I think that comes from compromised immune systems too, because her father has asthma. And sometimes they say, just studying with a lot of doctors about it, because I had to really re-educate myself to figure out what was going on with my child, is that sometimes when you have like maybe asthma, you may have a different type of disease in your body. Your genes are more compromised than that person who doesn't. So you have to be careful how you do vaccinate the child. And also I want to make a correction to the distinguished brother in New York City. I said that it was 22 shots by the time between, I think, the ages of 2 and 5. When the child is born, there are some shots, but I did not say 22, so I just want to make sure that I was corrected. And also, I didn't like the fact that she doesn't vote. I hope she doesn't tell her children not to vote, but that's all. I mean, I think I loved her candidacy. Is she on the East Coast here, Gus, or where is she located?
I believe she's in Panama.
Oh, all right. I'll try to do it. I have to ask no more questions. But I'm new online. Thank you so much.
At least register. Get that in. Even if you're not,
yeah.
At least register. That way you can be on jury. That very important. Even if you're not going to vote, you should at least register. Anybody else have any thoughts they wanted to get in?
Greetings, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to recommend. There's a book called Spark, SPARK, The Revolutionary New Science of Exercise and the Brain. Just dealing with stress, I was extremely stressed a couple of weeks, and it didn't feel any different, but then I started noticing I was breaking out and stuff like that, like stuff that doesn't usually happen. And I wasn't sleeping as well, and I didn't really understand what was going on. It wasn't in my, my conscious. And then, but when I went back, and it was to my journals and just notes and stuff that I take, it was apparent I wasn't exercising. I wasn't getting good exercises, and I would do like some dips, pull-ups, and keep it moving. It wasn't nothing like I was doing. And if you're not exercising, you get the book, and if you're not getting your heart rate up to the proper point for your size and age and all of that, It's just not good. You know what I'm saying? You got to really remember and focus and understand, like, we're built a certain way, and we have to like kind of, you know, exert ourselves, you know what I'm saying? And it helps us to relieve a lot of that stress by changing the brain. Because believe it or not, stress, if it's not something physical, you know what I'm saying, a physical stressor, and, you know, it's mental, and that has to do with your perception. You know what I'm saying? Your perceptions. And just how your brain is kind of perceiving things, you know what I'm saying? Because some people, you know, be in the same situation and they'll perceive it different. They'll be like, you know, okay, this is something that's going to be challenge, you know, it's a challenge, blah, 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 whatever. But it is a lot to do with your perceptions. And when you have a vigor, you do 20 minutes jumping jacks, you know what I'm saying? You get your heart rate up and whatever. You start thinking, you know, like your problem solving skills and everything like that, and just really your overall understanding increases. You know what I'm saying? You know, and whatnot. So, you know, a good book that like kind of breaks that down is the book I said. It's called Spark. Another thing, you know, I have a relative, man, that is very much into white supremacist sites. You know what I mean? Like, she's hardcore, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of the stuff she sends me, I can't even look at. But she's on it. She wants to know what white people are talking about, blah blah blah. But what she sent me was a video from a white supremacist site, and it was like mad popular, of Sarah Sutton. I don't know if I should say it. Well, I already said it. SETI or whatever. Basically, you know, talking about talking about that, you know, the first thing need to be done is black people need to be, you know, these sellouts and this and that need to be handled and this, and I mean it, and they were using that as a propaganda tool to say, see, even their own people know that, you know, these black people aren't any good and things like that, man. So it was just interesting. I never seen anything like that, and I ain't got nothing against, you know, SETI, you know what I'm saying, not, or anything like that. But I don't know. I just said that because I wanted to, second what you were saying as far as, you know, black people criticizing each other. I mean, you know, that should be like put a stop to. And I don't think people really should get, I think people should not get support for that. And I think people should, at least told, like, check this out, you know what I'm saying? You got good information. But if you're going to be talking about black people, you know, racists are using that, you know what I'm saying, to justify harming black people. And, you know, I ain't going to be able to ride with you and stick to that. Like, they say, oh, you know why? Because he was a coward and blah, blah, blah. Just stick to your guns and don't not support that, because that's they use that kind of stuff to harm black people because they say, see, you know, or whatever. So I just wanted to say that.
Right on. Appreciate that. 909, I'm not surprised. Any of the other folks that dialed in have anything they wanted to make sure they got in?
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
So, I actually like some of the things that the doctor was saying. Of course, I think we're just all learning. And so it's so ingrained in us, a lot of us black people, that, you know, a cause of our condition is us, and if we just did this and if we just did that or didn't do that, say this or allow that, that everything would change. So it's just a part of that continual conditioning, and it's something that, you know, we all have to work on. We all have an aspect of how racist white supremacy has affected us as victims, and our thinking, our thought process, our the way we live our lives, the lifestyles that we think we choose. So that's one of the things that I just think that was going on there with the doctor.
a lot of the concepts and ideals and the things that she was conveying, I think, are unique. I agree that, you know, these are things that I even wanted for my lifestyle myself, but I was looked at as a freak of nature. You want to have your kids at home. You want to homeschool. You want to not vaccinate your kids. And it's almost like, for the most part, because we're so scattered with people who are thinking these ways of, well, should I, you know, who are even just second-guessing, should I be going down this track? Should I be yesing everything that the racist white supremacists say I should do, or accepting everything that they give to me, that you're looked at as, you know, just weird or dysfunctional for even questioning it. So I did like that aspect of what she was saying about just kind of taking control, or at least attempting to take control of your life and lifestyle. But again, you know, we all know that once that happens, you may still encounter more issues from the racist, the white supremacists, because the objective is for you not to have control over your lifestyle. It's for them to have your life calculated from birth to death on how it's going to go. So, yeah, that's just kind of all I wanted to say. I did enjoy the program tonight. Thank you.
Any? Do we have any parents here who have children and they decided not to vaccinate them? Or if you maybe did it early on but then kind of got a different opinion on it and discontinued the vaccination schedule, anyone participating in that category?
I did. We didn't want our daughter to get the HPV shot. And now I know why. So now I can explain it even better. But we decided against that. And what the people were saying was right on, because you know, my wife came home and said how pushy the doctor was and wasn't trying to take no for an answer. And, you know, she pretty much was like, no, you got nasty, and that was it. But, you know, recently I took her to the doctor for a headache. And, you know, hey, you know, she has a shot you need to get. I was like, no, she just got a headache. And I that's the only one that we've challenged.
Any family members?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my aunt was actually, my cousins are in their 20s. Well, one is in college, the other one's in her 20s. And she let her oldest get it, but when she had more information, she didn't let her youngest get it. But I did have something that I wanted to add, because at one point, I think the lady made a poignant point. She said it was her exchange between her and I think the gentleman from Alabama, and she was saying, I think they were kind of answering questions differently. But when she said that, the Ferguson shooting, you know, that ever, you know, that's nothing compared. And I started thinking, because, you know, first I'm like, what is she talking about? But then I'm like, man, as many hospitals as we have in New York, if they're putting down 5 people a day, yeah, I mean, phew, man, crime has got nothing on that, man. That's crazy. And also, you know, I don't agree with the no insurance. You know, I got health insurance because I didn't have it. I popped my knee, and I ended up with a $45,000 bill. I think I paid for it, and I have high blood pressure too, but I pay for it because, I don't want to ever be in a situation. And I tell you, I was in the hospital for 14 days because I didn't have insurance. They refused to, they wouldn't put me on the top of the list. You know, whoever came in before me, the orthopedic surgeon, hey, they got insurance, you know. So I sat there for 14 days and accumulated a $45,000 bill. I should have been out of here the next day, but, you know, so, yeah, having insurance is very important, I think. The way the system is designed. It's designed in a way where you pretty much need it. And I lost the lawsuit, too. So I really got to pay that bill.
Dang.
discuss. I came in mad late. I just got through the door. I'm not really sure what the doctor was saying. I'm kind of curious as far as, like, was her sentiment in some part black people were to blame, or why? How did that even come up? Or were you just reiterating the point?
I was reiterating the point. I think, unless I'm in error, I think there were a couple points where she was talking about the civil rights movement. She mentioned Dr. King specifically, that we got what he wanted in terms of having black people, black faces that look like they are, quote unquote, in charge, or that they have some sort of lofty positions, and saying that it's not not white supremacy, that it's black dependency, and us submitting, going to these white people's schools and going to these white doctors and that sort of thing. I think that was articulated. I'm not saying it verbatim, but that was the general idea that she said at a few points. I mean, she shared a lot of other things as well, and I think she said repeatedly, gave illustrations of specific things. I know specifically where she was talking about the vaccinations, where she was saying that according to white people's own statistics, that it shows that it has a greater adverse impact potentially on black male children as opposed to white children. And I think she made several other points that, you know, at least in my mind, clearly showed the continued practice of racism, white supremacy in all areas. But I just think there were a few points where it seemed like blaming the victim for what's happening. I think I'd said that it can be confusing trying to figure out the best decision to make, and she said that it's not confusion, basically, is what she was saying. And I don't agree with that. That's just my view. I think this whole environment makes it very confusing, particularly with the fact that it's terrorism. And exactly as she said, just if you decide that you don't want to go along with the vaccinations and they start to go intimidating you and bullying you, I know she's done programs where she talks about the hospital environment where they have all these guards there and that adds to it. Like, if you don't acting like you don't want to go along with their policy and what have you, they might get the guards to come and, you know, further add to the whole bullying aspect of it, in addition to the confusing information that you might see in the paper or on the television program or wherever else, or even coming from other victims, your family members saying, "What? You're not going to vaccinate your child? That is crazy." And, you know, it comes at you in so many ways that it can make it very difficult for you to, one, get an assessment of what is accurate, what is truthful information, so you can make the best decision. And then even once you do come to a decision that you think is based on credible evidence, they still, just because of it is white supremacy and they do have more power than black people, they still can come in and make it very difficult for you to act on that correct information, the decision that you've made. But that's my opinion. I could be in error, but those are just, it did pop up a few times where I just felt, you know, to reiterate that it's my opinion that we do spend a lot of time criticizing other black people. That seems to be in no shortage at all. And just make sure I'm conveying for folks who didn't hear, I'm not suggesting that all she spent a lot of time criticizing other black people. That's not the case. But I do think that came up a few times during her discussion.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, you know, as far as what the vaccinations be having an adverse impact and more on black people, man. I would say this, you know, we were talking about, like, you know, Harvard and some of these elite colleges and things like that, how they, you know, they look at to get in. You know what I'm saying? You got all of these valedictorians, and how do they separate them? They look at their hobbies. You know what I'm saying? And then their hobbies, the hobbies that they zone in on, are dangerous hobbies. You know, things that could cause, you know, serious injury or death. And solo sports, they don't like team sports per se. You know what I'm saying? And as a parent, you know, so you know, like, if you take the information, you say, "Oh, that's very important for my, you know, for my child to be doing something." to be doing something dangerous, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to build their character, like, you know, when they do dangerous things at you know, when they're young, you know, they become basically unstoppable. And you know these schools, these people that you know, they know that. But if you don't have no insurance, you're gonna be like, oh, stop that! Don't put that down. Don't do nothing. Don't even walk. Don't do nothing. Cause, you know, because you don't have insurance. I see it all the time. These parents, with the things they do, their kids can't do nothing. Oh, that's a girl. You know, he's got this brilliant little girl. She's got all these skills as far as just control and balance of her body. She's ready to, you know, do a triple backflip at the age of 3. But then, oh no, that's not for girls. And they try to stop them. And a lot of that is because they don't have insurance. They don't, you know, they don't have the money to, you know, if she gets hurt real bad or whatever. So I mean, like, if you have a child, I mean, I would be like, I got to relocate. I got to go somewhere where there's health insurance. Bottom line. But I don't think black people even think like that. Like, you know, where I'm going to go, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, black people ain't want it nowhere. So I think that has a lot to do with, I just think that has a lot to do with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, as far as racism, keeping us very, very weird and passive, and not being able to have that, you know, just... It's racism. It's not just some choice. Oh, you know, if you have a kid, you don't know that you can relocate. You don't know that some of these countries is full blown health care. You know what I'm saying? You can get an operation, a transplant, or anything like that. It's why are they keeping that information from us? That's what they're doing. That's part of the reason why. Because a lot of people would, as soon as you have a family or you plan to have a family, you're going to be thinking about what part of the world you want to be in.
Any other thoughts? Can I be? Enough people. I just wanted to get in real quick. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. I just wanted to get in real quick. If anyone felt that was not an accurate summation, what they heard from Dr. Daniels, feel free. Make sure you share there. Maybe it was just me. If I misheard, you can feel free to interject that also. But yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
No, I felt it was some blaming as well. I just wanted to know, when she mentioned, she said that in medical school, she was told, or the class was told, that the black male is a crime wave and that the black female is the gives birth to the crime wave. Did she say that that was just in that particular class, or that's something that's consistent and explicitly told throughout medical schools, period?
I thought it was the latter. That was the impression I got. Maybe I'm in error. Other folks heard it too, but I got the impression it was the latter, that was consistent, that was widespread, that this is something that's generally taught to med students across the board.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that's what she said, but I wanted, you know, to make sure that, you know, see if someone else was hearing the same thing.
She said it's not only consistent, you know, but she said that most of the black doctors kind of take on that ideology and they treat the black patients just as bad as the white doctors do. In her, when she was making that point.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that makes me think about when Dr. Welsing said that she went to Germany and she wanted to ask the Germans why did they, you know, allow that to happen. And I think that is par for the course and with a lot of oppression and being dominated, that you will have fellow victims, you know, being brain trashed to. And I think sometimes it's almost like a survival situation where almost like Chris Rock when he said they are niggers and then there are black people. And I don't ever recall white people making a distinction. They always said all black people are niggers. And I think sometimes the victims in a survival mode almost kind of try to sacrifice others to kind of save their own lives, if you will, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you could a black person or 20 has tried that to say, I'm not going to go along with this. This is racist. I can't believe you're saying that. And they lost their scholarship or got kicked out of med school or whatever the case may be. I'm quite sure that folks know at one level or another what's going to happen if you act like you don't want to go along with that program, med school or anywhere else under this system.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, this was some years ago, I was getting a lot of complaints as far as the Planned Parenthood being in the schools. Basically, it just reminded me of that for some reason, like basically letting the young girls know that, you know, this is where you get an abortion, you don't have to tell your parents. So, you know, if they're being taught that, you know, the black male is the crime wave and this and that's that whole eugenics line of that whole eugenics milieu, if you ask me, like keeping it going as far as doesn't that just make mad, you know, you would have to have something like that if you're going to you would have to be telling them that. Like, it would have to, like, they were asking, like, is that just that one teacher or whatever? It would have to be widespread. It just makes sense, you know what I mean? Like, that it would be more generalized, that type of message.
That was in the DOJ report on the Ferguson Police Department. They were saying the same thing. They had the email where the officer said that that was a quote-unquote joke that they were passing, that a black female got an abortion, and then she got a check from the hospital, and it was from Crime Stoppers. That's the same sentiment, the exact same sentiment.
Exactly. Whew. Man. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was saying it's just amazing how white people bring on these shows, and they celebrate their criminals. They honor when their blood soaked the streets of the United States, when they were shooting each other up every night, when it was, you know, and they had Jesse James and they had bank robbers and stagecoach, you know, as you know, they speak as if they aren't the originators of all of this. You know, their mobs and all of that recruited the black males coming up from the South. They are the original gangsters. They are the original hustlers. And they sit back, you know, and act like butter doesn't melt in their mouth, you know. It's amazing.
I just got a tip for people who are interested in if they just want to let other people know about the vaccinations, how they can get out of it. How I got out of it was that when you go to the school office, they're not going to, your school nurse can tell you what to do, but she's not, because some of them are sanctioned. Sometimes even in doctor's offices, especially in New Jersey, I think it was one of the states that got the most incentive for giving vaccinations. So there's an incentive behind vaccinations too. But how you can get out of this is a religious exemption. You can go online and it had the actual legal terms. It has to be stated just that way. And you can give it to your nurse, and that's what I gave it to the school nurse, and she said, oh, your child can come back to school tomorrow. I mean, it's like she went from Mr. Hyde to Dr. Jekyll. It was just unbelievable how much information they can keep from you. But, you know, please pass that information, because it took me a lot of research to get that information about how I can actually get out of it. But you can get out of it through a religious exemption.
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, you know, I knew about that one. There's a lot of other ones, but I didn't ever, it's serious, you know what I'm saying? I don't have kids, but I would think if I did have, you know, I'm involved with young people, but it's just like, that's important. Because a lot of times they'll say vaccinations are mandatory when they're not, or you know they'll have it to where you just assume that it's something mandatory that you have to do, and they might even try, you know, they might even kind of lie, but a lot of things aren't mandatory, so you can just go in with the, you know, if you with the understanding that, you know, well, you know, Dean, this is not mandatory. I don't know.
Well, it's true. They told me that my daughter couldn't come back to school unless she was vaccinated. They said she had to leave. That was it. They were so cool. I'm telling you, they are. It's like they're all in cahoots with each other. I couldn't believe it. You would think they would reach out and touch, but oh no, I think it's definitely a system for a money making system. And as she said, that is, I don't know if you guys are familiar with autistic children, but it's like they're. I mean, they and she and you know what. Please listen to what she said, guys, because I do believe that is so true. If you ever look, I don't know if you're familiar with autism or autistic child, especially when they're very smart, but just socially inept. I mean, they can do that. If you look at Bill, is it Bill Gates who's Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
He's what you call he's on the high autism spectrum, but he's socially inept. He has very little social skills. That's why he's not really in those circles, but I mean, the guy is brilliant. I mean, not that all of them will end up that way. He had a lot of help doing that way, but it's true. They're trying to create, I think, a race of people where they can just, you know, let them be good in math, but they don't know how to get along socially. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I advise, like I said, if you can avoid those shots and just get the bare minimum like our mothers did or grandparents did, you'll be fine. I'm telling you, it's a system out there to keep these kids. And do you know how much they spend on to put them in special schools? They talk about what they spend on regular. It is enormous, people. We're talking about like $200,000 per student just to send them to a special ed school. I mean, you would be surprised where that money is going to. And I'm telling you, these parents, especially these parents fighting, mostly I find a lot of my area, a lot of white students, male in particular. I mean, it's very, very expensive, but it's something. It really is. So what she was saying might have sounded a little crazy, and I know what you were saying about taking away, like she was saying, And she got me on that, too, when she said that taken away from the real problem, there's a lot of stuff in the industrial medical complex that people really need to learn about. And I think that's all from me tonight, guys.
Thank you. On the religious thing, current events, with the law that was passed in Indiana about... and people are seeing it as an anti-gay law, and how they in the law they are calling businesses persons. You know, it's stipulated the word person means a corporation, a business, et cetera, et cetera. And it kind of reminds me of when Mitt Romney was running for president. He talked about businesses, corporations, and things like that being considered persons. So I wonder if this bill is really going to, lead to that happening throughout the country where corporations are seen as people.
Anything but a black person as a person.
Right. Bricks and mortar people.
Absolutely. Also, just on the religious exemption, too, for the vaccines, I have been seeing that in the news quite a bit, that they're looking to weaken those significantly, where they were talking about that when they just had the measles outbreak in California, and I think that was whites were adding to that, so that people had fewer means of refusing vaccines, so that might be something you want to pay attention to as well, particularly if you have children or thinking you might want to have children down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think, a naturopath, naturopathic medicine, those type of doctors, I mean, they have vaccines for like measles and things like that, but they're not you know, whatever these doctors will put, you know, these monkey, I don't know what they're putting in these vaccinations, but, you know, it's not that. It's a different kind. So there are, you know, doctors, PhDs, naturopathic doctors that give, you know, certain types of vaccinations, but it's, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, but vaccination, but it's not the same, like, you know, like you get in these clinics and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's something too.
Mm. One of our guests, KJ Della Antonia, racist suspect, where she talked about now she's a parenting expert, but before she was a prosecutor in New York and talked about all the black people that she hemmed up and practiced. Like, she was like, oh yeah, obviously I was practicing racism with all the black people she locked up when she was a prosecuting attorney. But she wrote in February 2015, "Want more vaccinated kids, end religious and personal exemptions." And she's, I'm not going to read the whole thing. She just said there's a simple and effective way to decrease the number of parents who choose not to vaccinate their children against preventable diseases, and it doesn't require suing those parents or criminally charging them. Instead, state legislatures need to end both religious and personal exemptions to the requirement that children be vaccinated in order to attend public schools. A strict vaccine requirement without loopholes is all it would take to reduce the numbers of unvaccinated children to levels that would allow us to maximize protection for everyone. And she goes on from there. But there's a lot more sentiment in that vein over the last 4 or 5 months from what I've seen.
There's a website called educateyourself.org. I don't know if anyone's spoken about it because I had to leave for a moment. But it's called educateyourself.org. And from what I understand, it does have a lot of the forms on there. If you put your state in, it gives you the laws and the exemption forms. In addition to that, it also lets you know about certain things like fluoride in the water, fluoride in the toothpaste, how that is affecting males in general, how they have done studies on it, and how, I don't know if it's affecting their sperm count or genetically how it's affecting them, but there's some sort of a link between that and how can I say, I think it's sperm count. I won't go so far as to say feminine characteristics, but they did make some sort of link close to that nature. But it also educates on other environmental factors, such as chemicals in the air, chemtrails, and things of that nature. So, I mean, yeah, this is like all-out warfare. On many levels. And another thing I've always thought about is that, you know, all of a sudden you have all these juice bars and salad bars that popped up. And all of this stuff is genetically modified and it's cheap. I mean, it's like, you know, it doesn't cost anything. So that's why you can have all of these fast food restaurants saying, oh, we're putting a salad on the menu. That salad ain't healthy. That's you know, those are monster fruits and vegetables. They're very compromising to the system. So, you know, a lot of us think that we're running out and getting something healthy. No, you know, and it's really difficult, but you really have to buy organic. And there is a website, I forget the name of it also, but there's a website online that lets you know which fruits and vegetables have the most amount of chemicals or pesticides. Yes. Which ones you can pretty much get away with buying, you know, normal, you know, regular fruits and vegetables, and which ones you definitely should buy organic because they have a high amount of pesticides in them. But yeah, it's warfare. It's certainly warfare.
Just one more tip. If you get a dental cleaning, and I just learned this tip when I was there maybe last year with my daughter, the lady said, oh, no fluoride. And I said, they do cleanings with fluoride? She says, yes, you didn't know that? If you get, if you don't tell them not to put the fluoride in your cleaning, they'll do it anyway. I said, no fluoride. And I said, well, so $40. I did not know, because if you go online and look about fluoride, not a good look at all. And I love this topic because health and nutrition is really my topic, but not a good look. I did not know that. I mean, they just slip and slide anything and don't tell you anything.
With the little children, the small kids, I didn't know this when my son was younger. This is, like I said, this is all new information to me. But for the pediatric dentist, they slap the fluoride right on them. I mean, but when they're at in the dentist chair, I mean, oh, they got to get a fluoride treatment. They just slap all this fluoride on their teeth. Oh, it's awful.
How many in the audience recall Jerry Lewis hosting every, I think, Thanksgiving or every Christmas, the telethon,
muscular dystrophy.
Right. Mm-hmm. What happened to the, I mean, they were running for, like, what, 40, 50 years or something like that? Has autism replaced MS or something?
I think it's, I could be incorrect, but I think it might be under the guise of March for Babies.
Oh, okay.
And I could be incorrect, but that's the big thing, March for Babies. And I always wonder, who's babies,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I guess they got all of the money they could get out of, I mean, because there's never been a cure. and I guess they squeezed all the money they could out of the citizens for the MS, and they moved on
that
new scam.
Yeah, exactly. That and St. Jude's Hospital for Children, mm-hmm. the two of them.
Huh.
Gus, and callers, too. I just find it interesting. I don't know. I heard a comedian that was talking about how Jerry was asking for too much money. I think it's something that it was. I don't know if that was the case, but he was going in. But I just find it interesting that, you know, compulsory schooling was you know, like when you do your research and stuff and you find out that was basically put together by some, like, really scumbag people to basically dumb the population down, you know what I'm saying, and you know, and it's effective. It was created, compulsory schooling was created to dumb the population down by the, you know, the people that architect this. So you hadn't, but I'm just saying, okay, that's what they did. It's working perfectly. You know, it's been working for years. But now you have to kill yourself and kill your, you know, like hurt your child to get into a system, or not a system, but get into a program that's going to further damage them. Like, we're fighting to get. That reminds me of what Gus was saying as far as the NAACP, like, what is going to be the legacy? And it just made me think of what Martin Luther King said as far as us fighting to get into a burning building or something like
mm-hmm.
that. Like, that is perfect as far as racism, white supremacy go, where you begging to get in, let me in. And, like, look, man, we're going to release the poison up in there. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get up in there. That's weird. That's the system of racism, white supremacy, man. That's what we have to. That's what we up against, man. Something that you begging to get into, something that is built to destroy you.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think about. Even how we are offended by, like, the term people of color, and because white people made it sound so negative. And we're like, don't you call me, basically, you know, it's like, don't you call me a melanated person. And I'm like, that's a good thing, you know. But they've made the great thing out of pure sheer envy. They've made the wonderful things about us seem so negative to what we want nothing to do with it. And like you said, but the poison in the burning building, they've made that seem like that's what you want to have. That's what you want to go after, you know. And this is.
So we're almost at the close. I did want to make sure I got in because I think it was shared white people and black people were like having a conversation amongst themselves about racism in the 60s, and then the government intervened and disrupted all that. Like, I wasn't alive at that time. Make sure I get that out. I was not alive during the 1960s at all. That being said, I don't see any evidence that white people, if the government had not done anything, that white people and black people would have come to a peaceful resolution about racism. Just my knowledge of white folks, I just don't think that's going to happen. And even my knowledge of racism, white supremacy, I don't think most white people during the 1960s at any point were saying, you know, we just need to go and have a conversation with those black folks and we'll work all this out. That just strikes me as very, very false. But again, I was not alive then, so I could be in error, but certainly there are a lot of folks who were alive at that time. You can go back and ask if any white people volunteered to come chat with them to see if they could solve the race problem. Maybe that was going down, but I tend to think no. I tend to remember what they call massive resistance and them closing the schools in Virginia for 5 years because they didn't want niggers in school with their white children. But maybe that was an anomaly.
Hey, Gus, did you see the Media Matters report?
On
New York City, the crime disproportion to the way it's covered in the media.
Oh, that's long running. Like, I forgot to put my email up today, but yeah, that's long running.
Because they did it from August 18th to December. This time it was, you know, this year in 2014, August 18th to December 31st. And, you know, 55% of the murders in New York, the suspects were black. 55% of the thefts, the suspects were black. 49% of the assaults, the suspects were black. But the media covered 74% of those murders and 84% of those deaths and 73% of those assaults. To give you the, you know, if you watch it, you know, everyone impression the only people committing crimes are black people. You know, I was just like, I was reading that, like, wow, you know. So I'll send it over to you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that is long running, but not that it's important. That's just a consistent aspect of racism. I think Charles Blow, he did a great report. Dr. Welsing referenced it. It came out, I think, in September in the New York Times, where he said that that's standard operating procedure where black people get misrepresented in terms of any type of violent crime or pretty much anything that's adverse. Black people are overrepresented in how it's portrayed in the media. And white people are also overrepresented as victims of this crime or whatever the case may be. That is important because Dr. Kamban, he told me 2 weeks ago, they just released a study that sort of thing, the way that black people are shown in the media, that has a real life impact on public policy. These white folks just got together and did a study that showed that when you have that, when you keep saturating and showing this disproportionate amount of black crime and black hooliganism, that whites are way more excited about any sort of punitive laws that are going to lock black people up and anything that is just going to be caging black people. They are way more excited about it. This study, I think, just came out within the last month or so. I was trying to get the white people that put this study together, at least get one of them on the program. But that just came out very recently. I think it came out 2015 that they did this study.
Gus, the doctor, she lost her license because she was healing people, basically. And Dr. Oz, back in June, admitted before the Senate, basically, you know, that he's a snake oil salesman with all of the stuff that he hawks on his show. But he didn't lose his license. I don't think he was sent to the medical board to even discuss losing his license. I don't think he lost his show or anything. He was quote-unquote reprimanded by Senator McCaskill, you know, and she was telling him, you know, the stuff that you're telling the public is not founded, and you would think that he would be run out of town. But nothing.
Nothing. She wasn't making them any coin. She was healing people, but she went on to give more detail that it was the hospital representatives and insurance representatives and these different drug companies were coming in and saying, you know, what is the deal? This is not getting us any coin. Like, you have got to get it together. And she continued, even though she was healing her patients, she was making folks better, but that is irrelevant for what they wanted to accomplish.
Gus, did you read anything about Hillary Clinton and the GMO labeling, that she was against GMO labeling recently? If not, you guys can look that up. I think it was. You know, if you guys are gonna be voting and everything like that, like GMO labeling, I think you know, some of these, you know, they're saying it was getting close to this you know, products being labeled if they had GMOs in it, and I think, you know, I'm not sure, but I think Hillary Clinton is undercover. You know, she was saying, like, she's trying to put a stop to that. And some of these other people that's running for office is trying to put a stop to that, too. So, you know, that's something. I was going to say, too, like, this is the first court. I don't know if you're going to broadcast whatever before April, but, you know, January through March is the first quarter, you know, and April through June, second quarter. I was just going to say, like, I hope, you know, these first 3 months, this first quarter, I hope people really accomplish their goals, you know what I'm saying? And if not, reevaluate and see what's up, man, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we need to be reaching our goals, you know, day like that, man, and reaching other people. So, you know, shout out to Scotty Reed too, and for Black Talk Radio. But yeah, I definitely wanted to say that because I didn't know if you were going to broadcast before the second quarter. But just wanted to get that in.
For sure, we'll be back tomorrow. But yeah, that's good to get in. Definitely encourage folks to be striving to accomplish things, constructive things, whatever you have on your agenda. In terms of things that you want to make sure get done, be on the ball about it. And if there are obstacles, let's identify those and get it taken care of. And again, just folks, black people, this should be absurd for a black person to be bored under the system of white supremacy. There's so much to research, all different areas, whatever your interests happen to be, things that you don't know enough about, particularly if you have children. It should just be absolutely impossible for you to be bored under the system of white supremacy. If you need something to do, feel free to let me know. Drop me an email and I can give you some recommendations of things you can do that would be helpful towards solving this problem. Again, we should be back tomorrow, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We should have a white man on the program. He goes by the Twitter handle Very White Guy. You can check out, they have a website. He is in a tragic arrangement with a black female. They talk a lot about racism, white supremacy. Should be interesting to have them on the program. I know I always look forward to talking to white folks specifically because they are the problem. But that'll be tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Folks get confused. You can't find something in the archives. Have a question, gripe, complaint. Other crazy responses you want to make sure you share, the email address untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. Thanks to all the folks who tuned in. I hope you got some constructive information from Dr. Daniels. Again, you can visit her website, vitalitycapsules.com, vitalitycapsules.com. I think she would concur, sobriety would be best for black people under the system of white supremacy. That is definitely not anything that's going to help us deal with all of the stress and toxins that whites are dumping on us constantly, in addition to that just setting us up for more problems with enforcement officials and whites in general. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
I'm a victim, no brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.